Joe? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
If your roof starts to leak or your floor's really squeaky, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, pick up your home sweet home. I call an 888 money pit.
The Money Pit is presented by LL Flooring, Roof Max, the Angie app, and Aero Fasteners. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are here to help you get projects done around your house. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, or if you'd like to call a pro to get a project done, doesn't matter. We can give you some tips, some advice, some direction, some ideas to help you avoid the hassles when it comes to taking care of your house. We're like your owner's manual. We're the virtual owner's manual. You know, when you buy a toaster, you get a book, right? Well, when you buy a house, you get us. And we're here to help you with projects that you'd like to get done. Coming up on today's show, you know, it's a great time of year to give your wood decks or your trim or your fencing a spruce up. So we're going to share some quick tips on how to pick the perfect stain or brightener to have it spruced up for the season ahead.
And when kids hit the playground, safety is usually the last thing on their minds, but it really needs to be the first thing on our minds when we're creating these spaces. So we'll have some ideas to help them stay safe.
And do you have areas around your house that are just ridiculously difficult to clean? Well, make your list because we've got the solutions.
You guys, it's June. What are you working on? How can we help you create the most amazing money pit that you could ever dream of? We want you to have a fantastic summer. So let us help you get all of those projects in order, tell you what you should be working on, and tell you how to get it done.
Plus, today we're giving away the Arrow corded 5-in-1 professional electric staple and nail gun worth $60. That'll come in handy for lots of projects around the house. So give us a call with your home improvement question. The best way to reach us is through our website. Just click the Leave a Message button and record your question. We'll answer it on the next show. Or you can call us at 1-888-MONEYPIT right now. Let's get to it. Leslie, who's first?
Luke in Illinois is on the line with a roofing question. What can we do for you?
I have gotten a few people to estimates. I want to put steel roofing on my house, and one guy will tell me that I need to sheet it, and the next guy will say that I can put it over the shingles, and I didn't know what the standard process for that is, and now I was also told by the same contractor, well, every few years you have to replace the screws, and that I'd never heard that before.
That's something we've never heard. Now, when it comes to whether or not to remove the existing roof, or shingles, I should say, before you go ahead and put on a metal roof, I mean, in this instance, a metal roof is expensive. They're very long-lasting, you know, up to 50 years. And they're beautiful, and I think the situation would be that you would want to remove the existing shingles just to give yourself nice smooth sheathing to go on top of, you know, less weight on the roof, you know, less heat being trapped, and, you know, best usage of your money and use of the metal roof.
Luke, what kind of roof do you have now? Under the asphalt shingles, do you have solid sheathing?
Only on part of, I have a house that's over probably 200 years old. Okay. And it has what they did, I'd say is a shifty contractor put tar paper over the where the slats was for the shake.
Do you have original wood cedar shakes underneath that?
No, it's just they just tore all the shake off and just put tar paper over it.
Okay, look, the best thing for you to do here, as Leslie said, is to strip down to those rafters, resheathe the roof, then put the metal roof on top of that. Yeah, it'll be less expensive to put the metal roof over the asphalt, but you're not going to get as clean or neat of a job. And there's really no point in adding to the, you know, the way it's...
Alrighty, folks, welcome tonight to this broadcast of the much-awaited matchup, second matchup, between your Reading Colt 45s and the Silicon Valley Sharks. Tonight we should have a good game for you. The Colts are looking to keep their momentum headed into this one. They picked up a win against the Sharks last night. Final score was 15-6. So they're hoping to keep that same energy, as the Colts are now being announced as they come onto the field. We'll go ahead and give you a reading of their starting lineup as they come out. Starting at shortstop for you tonight is going to be Arive Camacho out of Antelope Valley College. Following him in the lineup is going to be Blake Tweet in right field from Sacramento City College. In the three spot, we will see Kyle Norton, the first baseman from Lassen College. After him, we will have Bryce Tweet, Blake Tweet's twin, and center fielder out of Sac City College. He's definitely got some power. We'll be waiting to see what he does tonight. At third base and hitting in that five spot, we've got Wyatt Reginato from Folsom Lake College. And then following him, we'll see the left fielder, Derek Ray. He's out of Shasta College, a local guy. And then after that, in the seventh spot, we will see the catcher, Ethan Williams, also out of Shasta College, followed by the designated hitter, Nate Scott, from Antelope Valley College. Finally, in the lineup, we will see Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman from CSU San Bernardino. And now we've got the pitcher coming out onto the field. It's going to be Peyton Jeffries, also out of Shasta College. So we'll see what the Colts can do here tonight. They're really hoping to pick up their third win of the season. Their record stands now at 2 wins and 2 losses. So if they can pick a W up, it would mean they would move to above 500 on their record for the first time in the season. They lost the series against Santa Rosa Rosebuds last weekend. With a win here, they would be able to take the series and look for the sweep tomorrow against the Sharks. And with that, we're going to head to the national anthem. It's going to be sung tonight by Kristlyn Bishop, who was just 11 years old when she first performed the national anthem at Tiger Field. So in a couple seconds, she'll be starting up as she heads out onto the field. Here we go. I know, Wow, just an absolutely fantastic rendition there of our national anthem, again sung by Kristlyn Bishop, who was only 11 years old when she first performed her first national anthem at Tiger Field. So with that, the Colts now will begin their warm-ups. Like I said earlier, Peyton Jeffries is going to be on the mound. It's a pretty cool night here at Tiger Field. Well, cool if you live in Reading during the summer. It's going to be 70 degrees and cloudy. We're expected to get a little bit of a drizzle here starting in about 20 minutes, but we'll see if that actually happens. I know everybody here is hoping we don't get rained on. We had a little bit of a rain issue last night as well as last weekend. However, both times they played through it. Last weekend we did have a bit of a delay before we got started. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case here as we're still waiting on any rain to get started. So with that, Jeffries is going to continue his warm-ups. He's looking a little wild out there at the moment. Probably just needs to get a little bit settled in. This will be his first appearance of the weekend against the Sharks. Now he's going to go into his last few warm-up pitches as we see the Sharks on the third baseline swinging their bats, trying to get timed up against the right-handed pitcher. Behind the plate for the first time in a while is going to be Ethan Williams. The past two games, we've seen Mateo Mendoza behind the plate there. But Williams is going to go back. He started the first game against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds behind the plate, as well as the second. And now he is back. So, leading off for the Sharks tonight is going to be number two, Anthony DiVittorio, the center fielder. He led off last night for the Sharks, and it looks like he's going to be doing the same thing here. Jeffries looking to maybe keep the momentum that they had going from last night as he now steps up to deliver his first pitch. That one's going to be a fastball outside for ball one. So a quick 1-0 count to start off the game. Here comes the next one from Jeffries. That one will miss just outside. Jeffries showing impressive velocity tonight out on the mound with two consecutive fastballs. However, neither of them are able to find the zone. So 2-0 now as Jeffries delivers. That one again will miss outside and a little low as well. So quick 3-0 count, and Jeffries has not started off this game the way he wants. Three consecutive balls. Here's the next one. That one will catch the strike zone. A late call from the home plate umpire. It looked maybe a little bit high. Either way, it's going to be a 3-1 count now as Jeffries sets up. Here's the pitch. That one will miss low. Another fastball. So five straight fastballs to the leadoff hitter, DiVittorio, as DiVittorio is headed to first base on a walk. That'll bring up the shortstop, Anthony Perez. He steps in, another lefty, so two lefties to start the order for the Sharks. Here comes the pitch from Jeffries, swung on and tapped over to the first baseman who will field it and run it over himself. DiVittorio will get on over to second, but the Colts have their first out of the inning and of the ball game. So, with that, we've got one out in the top of the first and a runner on second for the Sharks. Base hit could potentially score a run and let the Sharks get out to a quick lead. We'll see if Cesar Ortega here, the catcher, can do the job as Jeffries once again sets up. Here comes the pitch. That one is going to be low, almost in the dirt. Another fastball. It'll be a 1-0 count to Ortega as Jeffries once again looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set, not paying much attention to that runner at second. Now he'll look back. Here comes the pitch. That one is going to be a strike. Another fastball for strike one, so it'll be a 1-1 count. That home plate umpire is a little late on the strike calls, I've got to say, so far, as Jeffries once again looks down, takes his sign, sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded over to the shortstop. He'll field it, make the throw. That was Aaron Camacho on the play. For the second out of the inning, DiVittorio over at second will move over to third. and it'll be a two-out runner on third situation for the pitcher Jeffries as Sal Munoz, the third baseman for the Sharks, comes up to bat. Munoz, a righty now, steps into the box as Jeffries once again looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the outside corner. It's a little bit hard to tell with these late strike calls, but it'll be an 0-1 count with two outs as Munoz takes a step out and takes a deep breath as well. Now he'll step back in. Jeffries now comes set. They're not holding that runner on third on very much. Here's the pitch. That'll miss outside, a little bit of an off-speed. I think that was the first off-speed we've seen in this game so far from Jeffries. It'll be a 1-1 count now to Munoz as Jeffries once again gets set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled out into the parking lot. Luckily, that one will miss the cars as somebody's going to go out and get it. It'll be a 1-2 count now to Munoz as he'll be battling, trying to stay alive here and get a run scored for the Sharks. Here it comes. That one is going to be fouled back into the net. So Munoz able to stay alive to see another pitch. Jeffries really hoping to end this one, get out of the first inning with without allowing a run. We'll see if he can do it. Munoz steps back into the box. Jeffries gets his sign and comes set. Here comes the pitch. Fouled back into the net again. So a curveball that Munoz is able to just track enough to get a piece on it and foul it back off. So the count will remain 1-2 with 2 outs here in the top of the first inning. Munoz once again steps back into the box. Jeffries comes set. Here comes the pitch. Curveball struck him out swinging. A nice off-speed from Jeffries. Fools Munoz. Gets him to chase. So just like that, the Colts are able to get out of the inning without allowing a run. We'll head into the bottom of the first as the Colts look for their first runs of the game. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They have just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go pay them a visit, get a bite to eat, and we will see you after the break in the bottom of the first.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Well, welcome back here to the bottom of the first inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s, Silicon Valley Sharks, brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. And the pitcher for the Sharks now out on the mound warming up, it's going to be Noble Ortega. So up to the plate is going to come Arive Camacho, the shortstop, out of Antelope Valley College. He'll be looking to lead off this game for the Colt 45s, get something started, maybe represent the first run of the ball game in general. So as Ortega throws his last few warm-up pitches, Camacho, standing on that first base side, is going to try to get him timed up a little bit, do some hip work there. And there is the warm-up throw from the catcher as the ball comes back around to the mound. And up walks Camacho. So, like we said earlier, he's going to be looking to get the first base hit of the ball game as he steps into the box. Ortega up on the mound.
is looking down, catches his sign. Now he'll come set. Here comes the first pitch to Camacho. That one will catch the outside corner. A nice fastball there from Ortega. Saw some good velocity there, so it'll be an 0-1 count to start the at-bat. Camacho takes a step out and then back in. Here's the delivery from Ortega. Curveball that'll fall right into the strike zone. That one had some drop on it. So already in his first two pitches, Ortega showing some good stuff to the Colts as Camacho goes down 0-2 here to start the game. Now here's the delivery from Ortega. That's going to be a curveball swung on and bounced up the middle and into the hole for a base hit. So Camacho now taking a long way around first. Now he'll head back. So the Colts lead it off with a base hit. We'll see Blake Tweet, the right fielder, come up to bat out of Sacramento City College. He'll be looking to do a job here with no outs as Arif Camacho with the base hit now represents the first run of the game on first base. So Tweet steps into the box as Ortega, the lefty, takes his sign and now looks at that runner on first. Here comes the pitch. That one will miss low. Fastball for ball one. So it'll be a quick 0-1 count to Tweet. As Tweet takes a step out of the box. Little practice swing there and then steps back in. Ortega now setting up. Here comes the pitch. Nope, he's going to throw over to first. Camacho will be in standing up. Now the ball goes back to Ortega, who looks down and takes his sign. Comes set here. And now the delivery. Runner goes. And no throw down as the catcher was not able to field the pitch. Going to be a ball. That one missed high. Ortega, the catcher, tried to bring it out of his glove and dropped it on the transfer. So Camacho is in there with a stolen base. As the Colts are in a good position now with no outs and a runner on second for Blake Tweed, who's looking at a 2-0 count. Now Ortega looks down and takes his sign. He'll come set. Takes a look back at Camacho. Now here's the pitch. That's going to be in the dirt for ball three. So it looks like Ortega may be a bit shaken up as the catcher, also Ortega, is going to walk out and have the chat. So two Ortegas, pitching and catching. Not sure if they're related, as they're going to have a quick little chat. Now the catcher Ortega trotting back to his place behind home plate. And the pitcher, Cesar Ortega, taking a deep breath before stepping back onto the rubber. He's looking to get his first out here, but facing a 3-0 count. Here comes the delivery. That's a high fastball, and it'll be ball four to Blake Tweet. So Tweet is on, and the Colts now have runners on first and second with no outs, bringing up the first baseman, Kyle Norton. Kyle Norton is a big boy. He's got some power. No wonder hitting in the third spot for the Colt 45s. So as he steps in, Ortega looks down and catches his sign. Now he'll come set. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be another high fastball. It'll miss the strike zone. So one ball and no strikes. Kyle Norton to start off the at-bat. Now, Ortega, the pitcher, has quite a slow delivery, which is why Camacho was able to get such a good jump and take that base at second, as Norton attempts to bunt, but fouls it off and into the catcher's glove for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now as Norton fails to execute the bunt. Just couldn't quite keep his head on it there, as he'll now take a hack before stepping back into the box. Ortega looking down, takes his sign. He'll come set now. Here comes the pitch. swung on and missed for strike two. So 1-2 count now to Norton. He'll be battling to stay alive as Ortega is on the verge of getting his first out of the ballgame. Again, runners on first and second for the Colt 45s. A base hit would probably score a runner. Outfielder's playing deep. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into left field for a base hit. Camacho will go home and reach without a throw. So an RBI single there from Norton as Tweet will advance to second and hold up there. So Colt 45s are in the same spot they were in, but they've just tacked on another or their first run. So it'll be a 1-0 ball game as Ortega still looks for his first out. That'll bring up Bryce Tweet, who had a home run last night against the Sharks. He'll be looking to maybe keep that same energy in this at-bat and for the rest of the game. Again, runners on first and second still for the 45s. As Ortega takes his sign, here's the delivery. Swung on and missed. So I gotta say, that power shown by Tweet is, it's kinda reduced sometimes by his inability to make solid contact in some key situations. You know, he's kinda taking big hacks with every swing. And sometimes it pays off for him, but other times he kind of just swings right through it. So here comes the next pitch. And again, same thing. He's going to swing right through that one. And that'll make it a quick 0-2 count to Tweet, the center fielder. Like we said, he's got some serious power. However, he can struggle with contact, taking those big, big hacks. So his brother Blake Tweet leading off a second. Pretty modest lead there. He's getting held on a bit by the shortstop, DiVittorio. As Ortega comes set, the pitch now. Check swing there from Tweet, and the catcher will appeal. The umpire says no, he did not go, so it'll be a 1-2 count. Now Ortega, strangely enough, is going to go out and have another chat with the pitcher, also Ortega. I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe a little bit of strategy here. He's probably saying, we don't want to give anything too meaty to Tweet because we know what he can do with it. So Ortega now heads back behind the plate as the pitcher Ortega now looks down and takes the sign. The count still 1-2. Runners on first and second. No outs here in the bottom of the first. Now Ortega comes set. Here comes the delivery. Curveball on the outside corner, called strike three. A nice pitch that just painted that outside corner with a falling curveball. And that will create the first out for the Sharks as Bryce Tweet is sent back to the dugout. Still, runners on first and second for the Colt 45s, bringing up the third baseman, Wyatt Reginato, out of Folsom Lake College. He's a lefty. He'll be looking to maybe score a runner here with one out. Ortega sets up. Here's the delivery. Swung on and driven foul over to the left side. Not sure exactly where that ball landed, but it's out of the park. So an 0-1 count here to start off Wyatt Reginato. Ortega looking to maybe get a double play to end the inning. The Colt 45s looking for a base hit to add on to that one-run lead as Ortega sets up. Here comes the pitch. Runners go. Ground ball up the middle. Bobbled a bit. Picked up by the second baseman. He'll throw it over to first. I'm not exactly sure what just happened there. So one runner went, apparently, not both. Tweet at second made an attempt to steal third. However, Kyle Norton over at first did not go. The ball was hit up the middle by Reginato, dropped by the shortstop right above second base, and then picked up by the second baseman who tagged second and then threw on over to first. However, Reginato made it to first in time. So the Sharks will get one out as Reginato gets to first safely, there'll be runners on first and third, and that'll bring up Derek Ray, the left fielder, who watches a first pitch fastball go by for ball one. As Ortega gets the ball back now, he'll look down and take his sign. Now he'll set up. Runners take their lead. Here's the pitch. That one will not quite catch the outside corner. Kind of looked like it did, but the umpire says no. So it'll be a 2-0 count to Derek Ray. Ray playing now at Shasta College. He's one of our local guys. As Ortega sets up to deliver now. Two outs, runners on first and third. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed by Ray. Took a big hack. Couldn't quite meet the ball. As it'll move to a 2-1 count to Ray. Ortega now looking down, gets his sign once again, hoping to end the inning without allowing another run. Here's the pitch. Runner at first goes. That's going to be a curveball. Throw down. Not quite in time. So, with that, looks like Reginato has a stolen base. That was a fastball high. It missed the strike zone. So, it's going to be a 3-1 count to Ray. The throw from Ortega, who showed off a pretty strong arm last night, is not going to be quite in time. Runner, however, at third is going to stay where he's at. Now here's the pitch from Ortega. Swung on and missed for strike two. So the count will move full. Three balls, two strikes, two outs here to Ray. And the pressure's on a bit for Ortega with runners at second and third. He's really hoping to get out of this inning without letting any more damage be done. A strikeout is really what he needs here. He comes set. Here's the pitch. That's going to be a curveball in the dirt for ball four. So that's got to be a little bit disheartening for Ortega, as the catcher Ortega now is going to again call timeout and head out to have a little bit of a chat with him. So that'll be the third mound visit for the catcher Ortega of the inning, as the catcher for your Colt 45s, Ethan Williams, also out of Shasta College, is going to come up to the plate with the bases loaded. Let's see if he can make something happen here for the Colt 45s as Ortega tries to shut him down and end this inning. Here's the pitch now. That's going to be a high fastball for ball one. The count will turn over to one ball and no strikes to start off Ethan Williams. So Williams steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch from Ortega. Outside, another fastball for ball two, and Ortega looks a little bit shaken with the bases loaded. He's not really, he's having a hard time finding the strike zone here. So Ray, or Williams will step out and take a hack. Now he'll step back into the box, as Ortega is going to move to the windup now, in the middle of the at-bat, with the bases loaded. Now here comes the pitch. That one will not quite catch the outside corner, so it'll be three balls, no strikes with the bases loaded, and the pressure now is really on for Ortega. He needs to throw a strike here, or else he will end up walking in the second run of the inning. So, as Ortega sets up, now he's going to deliver. That one is going to be low in the dirt, as Williams tosses his bat behind his back. Heads on over to first. All the runners will advance with the bases loaded. That'll make it a 2-0 ball game here in the bottom of the first. So the Sharks already off to a bit of a rough start. Similar to their start last night, in which they gave up 7 runs in the first inning. Ortega really hoping to limit them here, however, as Nate Scott, the designated hitter, is going to come up to the bat. He'll see his first pitch now. That's going to be a fastball down the middle for strike one. So it'll be an 0-1 count to start off Scott, as Ortega gets the ball back. Still pitching from the windup now, with the bases still loaded. Here comes the delivery. That one will catch the bottom of the zone for strike two. So Scott watches two fastballs go by for two strikes, and now with two outs, he's looking at an 0-2 count. The bases are loaded, but Ortega's got a chance to get out of it here. He needs the out. Here it comes.
That one is going to be popped high and foul over to the right side. It'll go into the parking lot. So the count will stay no balls and two strikes as Ray steps back into the box. Ortega gets a new ball from the umpire, shakes off a couple of signs from his catcher. He'll take that one, however, as he sets up now. Here comes the pitch. High fastball for ball two. Two balls, two strikes, and two outs here to the designated hitter, Scott. As Scott steps back into the box, I apologize. It's one ball and two strikes to Scott here with two outs. Bases loaded. Now Ortega will deliver. Curveball, almost in the dirt. It'll be ball two. So now we're at two balls, two strikes, and two outs. Ortega was up 0-2, but Scott has battled back to even up the count at two balls and two strikes. He steps back into the box. Now, here comes the pitch from Ortega. That one is going to miss the outside corner. The catcher, Ortega, tried to frame it up a bit, held it there for a second, thought maybe he would get strike three. That's not the case, however, as the count moves full. So another full count, Ortega, his pitch count's getting up there in this first inning. Now he'll come set. He needs to throw a strike here as the runners go. Swung on and drilled past the shortstop and into center field. That one will score two runs, now maybe three, as the ball is thrown home. There's going to be a play at the plate. And safe is the call. So, on a single, Nate Scott is able to score three runs because there were two outs and a full count, so all the runners were going. He drove the ball. It looked like maybe it had nicked the glove of the shortstop because that ball was driven hard. However, it slowed down as it went into the outfield, and the center fielder had to come in a ways to grab it. So, either way, it'll bring up Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman. The score now 5-0 in this bottom of the first inning. Here's the pitch from Ortega. Swung on and hit high over towards that third base side. And the third baseman for the Sharks, Sal Munoz, will make the catch. So, after giving up five runs, the pitch to Ortega finally gets out of it. The score here going into the top of the second is going to be 5-0 in favor of the Colt 45s, as we will see Noble Ortega, the pitcher, actually come up to lead off for the Sharks. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go on, give them a visit, grab a bite to eat, and we will see you after the break in the top of the second inning.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
All right, welcome back to the top of the second inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s, Silicon Valley Sharks, brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. Coming up to the plate now is the pitcher, Noble Ortega, who just gave up five runs in the bottom of the first. He'll look to maybe help his team get a couple of those runs back as he watches a first pitch fastball go by, but it'll miss outside for ball one. So the pitcher for the Colt 45s, Peyton Jeffries, back out on the mound for his second inning of the ball game. He'll look to continue the momentum he gained in the first, allowing no runs.
However, he throws two consecutive balls to Ortega. Ortega now fouls one off to the left side into the net. So the count will move over to 2-1 with no outs here to lead off the inning. Now Jeffries will get a sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. So that'll even things up. Ortega now steps back into the box. Takes a little bit of a hack. Jeffries gets the go-ahead from the umpire. He'll set up now. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop Camacho. He fields it cleanly and throws it over to first. However, it's going to be high. The first baseman, Norton, is not able to apply the tag in time. So it looks like it'll be an E6 there that allows Ortega to reach first base. So here in the bottom of the second, the Sharks are able to get a runner on quickly with no outs. Camacho made a nice play on that ball, fielding it cleanly. However, the throw just went pretty high over the head of Norton, who had to jump for it. He was able to make the catch, but was not able to apply the tag onto Ortega in time. As now, Josh Alacon watches a first pitch fastball go by for a ball. Now he'll see a fastball for a strike. That'll make the count 1-1 as Ortega leads off of first. Now here, setting up is Jeffries. Here comes the pitch. That one will miss low and away, so it'll be a 2-1 count now. As Jeffries gets the ball back, now he comes set. Throws on over to first. Little wild there. Norton had to drop to his knees to make that catch. As Ortega goes sliding back in, he'll be safe easily. Jeffries now setting back up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled into the face mask of the catcher, Williams. The umpire is going to go out and throw a new ball to Jeffries to give Williams a minute. Looks like he's pretty unfazed by that, however. The count will be 2 balls and 2 strikes here to Alacon, the small second baseman. As Ortega takes his lead off of first, pretty moderate lead there. Here's the pitch. That one will miss high, so the count will move full to Alacon. As he steps back into the box and Jeffries gets the ball back. Now Jeffries takes his sign and sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. The count will remain full. The corner infielders are playing in a little bit. Looks like that third baseman, Wyatt Reginato, is kind of expecting something over his way. Here's the pitch. Strike three called. A nice curveball there from Jeffries to get out of that full count situation and grab his first out of the inning. Runner will stay on first, so it'll be a one-on, one-out situation here in the top of the second. As up to bat comes Caleb Rodriguez, the left fielder for the Sharks. Jeffries now takes his sign. Here's the delivery. Fouled once again back into the net for strike one. So Jeffries gets a new ball. Goes back up to the mound to take his sign. Not much action over at first base. Looks like Ortega has no intention of making any moves. Here's the pitch. That's going to be an off-speed, maybe a changeup that'll drift outside for ball one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now with one out and one on here in the top of the second. As Jeffrey sets up, here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven into left center field. That one's going to be caught. No, dropped by the left fielder, Ray, as he sends that ball back in. I think Ray dropped it. Maybe it went over his head. He was, as Ray drifted over to make that play in left center field, he
he went behind a pole that's kind of impeding my vision. I couldn't see if he dropped the ball. Yeah, it looks like they're going to mark it an error. So it went off of his glove and to the wall, allowing the hitter Rodriguez to reach second base and advancing Ortega over to third. So now with one out, the Sharks will have runners on second and third. As a pitcher, Jeffries has to be a little frustrated about that, as now the first baseman, Matthew Garcia, gives a weak swing at a curveball for strike one. So here comes the next one from Jeffries. That's a stronger swing. However, it still is not going to be enough to make contact. So it'll be a quick 0-2 count to Garcia, the first baseman, as he steps back into the box. Jeffries has a little bit of fire in him now that that error was given up and allowed runners to move to second and third. The count will be 1-2 as Jeffries throws a fastball outside. Runners taking their lead. They're not being held up much at either bag. That's going to be a check swing foul ball tapped behind the plate. Garcia really looking uncomfortable in the box. He just his timing seems all skewed up, and he doesn't quite look like he's sure of what he's doing. So now Jeffries will get a new ball. He takes his sign now and sets back up. Here comes the 1-2 delivery. Swung on and missed for strike three. That ball was way outside, and Garcia is put away for the second out of the inning. So Jeffries doing a good job coming back from that error, that long and costly error that allowed runners to reach second and third. He's hoping that that one won't result in a run as he faces the right fielder, Ireneo Ocampa. That's going to be a first pitch fastball for a strike. Ocampa watches it go by. Now Jeffries will get the ball back and take his sign. He comes set. Now here's the pitch. That's going to be in the dirt. Nice block from Williams to keep it in front, keep the runners held up there at their bags. Umpire now going to come out and dust off the plate a little bit. The count moves to 1-1 as Ocampa steps back into the box. Now Jeffries takes his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. So it'll be a 1-2 count. And Jeffries is one strike away from ending the inning with no damage done. As he looks down and takes his sign, Ocampa battling back here. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So Jeffries does it. A nice showing of resilience from him as he deals with an error on that left fielder, Ray. He gets two consecutive outs to hold runners at second and third, and the Sharks strand two. So the score remains 5-0 as we head into the bottom of the second. The Colts looking to tack on to that 5-run lead. Remember, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, and we'll see you after the break in the bottom of the second.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Well, welcome back here to this sort of exciting matchup between the Red and Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. This game is a little bit reminiscent of last night's
with the Colts leading 5-0 after the first and now top of the second. The lineup will turn over here as Arif Camacho, the number one spot for the Colts, is going to come back up to the plate to lead off the bottom of the second. Again, 45 scored 5 runs in the bottom of the first off of the pitcher Ortega. Ortega hoping to limit the damage here. And now the rain is starting to fall. So we've got a little bit of a drizzle going on here. And some of the fans pull out their umbrellas, try to shield themselves from the rain. Ortega decides to have a little bit of a chat. Man, he sure does love talking to his pitcher. Maybe it's because they share the same last name. Who knows? But now he'll trot back behind the plate as Camacho steps into the box. He's going to take a hack. Ortega now out of the windup, sets up. Here he comes. Fastball in the dirt for ball one. So a quick 1-0 count to Camacho. Start off the inning. Let's see if the Colts can keep some of that momentum going from the bottom of the first. They try to tack onto this 5-run lead. Rain picking up a little bit now. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven into right field. It'll fall for a base hit in front of the right fielder, Ocampa. So Camacho has himself a leadoff single. That'll be his second of the night. He's 2-for-2 for the Colt 45s, bringing up Blake Tweet, who walked here in the bottom of the first. Ortega looking like he might have an inning similar to the last as he gives up a first or second pitch strong base hit. Now he's going to throw over to first. Camacho's back in standing. That ball sure was hit hard. Camacho got a hold of it, sent it hard, into right field. However, he had enough topspin to get it down in front of the right fielder. Now here's the pitch to Tweet. That'll be a first pitch fastball for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count as Ortega gets his ball and heads back to the mound. Camacho now takes his lead. It's a pretty decent sized one as Ortega takes his sign. Now he'll set back up. He's going to step off the rubber. Looks like there was a little bit of confusion there on the sign maybe. Now he'll step back on. Camacho still taking his lead. Now he'll take a little extra step. He's got a good one over there, wondering if he might try to steal once again. And that's going to be a fastball for ball two. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Tweet. As Camacho got a little tricked there by the lefty Ortega's delivery. It sent him back to first. It looked like he was maybe looking for a steal there. Here's the pitch now. That one will catch the outside corner. Looked like an off-speed, maybe a changeup there. It'll be a 1-2 count. Remember, Camacho had that stolen base in the first inning. So Ortega is a little bit defensive here as he pitches to Tweet. He'll take the sign and come set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three, and Tweet sent back to the dugout. Nice pitch there from Ortega. Just above the strike zone, got Tweet to chase. That'll bring up Kyle Norton, who had that nice single in the first inning, drove in a run. He'll be looking to do something similar here as he steps into the box. Ortega takes his sign now and sets up. Camacho again getting his lead off of first. Here comes the pitch. That one is going to be high for ball one. So 1-0 count now to Norton. As Norton steps out of the box and takes a hack, now he'll step back in. Ortega takes his sign once more. Gets set. throws over to first. Camacho's back in standing. So the count will remain 1-0 as the first baseman Garcia throws it back on over to Ortega, who steps back up onto the rubber and now comes set after taking his sign. Here comes the delivery. Runner goes. Here's the throw down, not in time, as Camacho is in there with his second stolen base. So he is just taking full advantage of that slow delivery from Ortega, and Ortega looks to be a little bit shaken up by it. The count's going to be 2-0 to Norton, and right when Camacho took off, Ortega, in the middle of his delivery, looked back over at first, was obviously alarmed, but still knew if he tried to throw over, it would be a balk. Now he'll throw back on over to second, and that one's going to go into the outfield. Center fielder does a nice job of backing up, though. It'll keep Camacho on second. So Ortega really just struggling with Camacho. Camacho looks to be all up in his head right now as Ortega makes his way back on over to the mound. Bottom of the second here, one out, runner on second with Kyle Norton up to bat. 2-0 is the count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and flown back behind the net for strike one. So it'll be a 2-1 count now with one out as Ortega looks down and takes his sign. Now he will come set. Takes a look back at the runner at second. Again, Camacho just in his head a little bit. Now we'll take a second look back before he delivers. Swung on and missed, so a nice little change up there that draws a swing out of Norton for strike two. So it'll be a two-ball, two-strike count with one out. Here in the bottom of the first, Ortega now takes his sign, sets up. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes. That ball is flown over into left field. It'll be in foul territory and actually into the stands. So the left fielder for the Sharks was making a play on it, or trying to make a play on it. However, it went into the stands. So the count will remain 2 balls and 2 strikes with one out here. And now the spot where the ball was going and where the players were running is a little blocked off for us here. By the third base dugout. So we couldn't quite see what was going on. Either way, however, the count stays 2-2. Camacho, who went on the last pitch, we're wondering if he'll go again now. He does not, as Ortega throws a ball in the dirt for ball three. So he tried to speed up his delivery on that one to make sure Camacho could not steal. Unfortunately, it doesn't work out as the count moves full for Norton. And now I know Ortega really doesn't want to give up another walk. He gave up quite a few in the last inning, but it looks like he'll give another one up here as Norton takes a high fastball for ball four and heads on over to first. So that'll bring up Bryce Tweet, the center fielder. This will be his second appearance against Ortega. And now it looks like we'll have a manager visit out on the mound. Cesar Ortega is the head coach and manager for the Sharks. As there's going to be a little bit of conversing out there. Not sure if Ortega's going to stay in. It looks like he will for now. So, interestingly enough, we just had a little bit of a mound meeting there with three different entities, all with the last name of Ortega. The pitcher Ortega, the catcher Ortega, and the manager Ortega. Anyways, Tweet steps into the box as Ortega takes his sign. Runners on first and second here, one out in the bottom of the second. Here comes the pitch. That one will miss inside. Curveball for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count. Tweet struck out in the first inning. He'll be looking to flip the script here in the second at bat of the night as Ortega takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. That one will touch the bottom of the zone for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count with one out, runners on first and second. Camacho and Norton getting pretty decent-sized leads. They're not being held on too much by the defense. As Ortega takes the sign, he'll set up now. Here comes the pitch. Runners go. It's going to be outside and no throw from the catcher Ortega. They just got a nice jump there as Ortega, the pitcher, like we said, has a pretty slow delivery. So it'll be a 2-1 count now with runners on second and third here in the bottom of the second. Tweet has an opportunity to do some serious damage. Here's the pitch. Little check swing there. Ball goes behind the catcher, and no coverage from the pitcher Ortega at home plate. So Camacho will score standing up as Norton heads on over to third. That one just nicked off of the glove of the catcher Ortega and dribbled back to the wall. So it'll be a 3-1 count now, as the Colt 45s extend their lead to 6-0. One out here in the bottom of the second. Ortega hoping to come back from this 3-1 count. Here comes the delivery. Swung on and driven into center field. That one's going to be high, however, as the center fielder gets under it and drops the ball. Oh, man, he just dropped it. Camacho will head into second as Norton scores easily. So I think the wind got a hold of that one. Oh, boy. It looked like it was headed into almost straightaway center field. However, it kept drifting left as the center fielder for the Sharks, Divitorio, ran after it. He got under it, but just bounced right out of his glove. So it'll be an error that lets a run score. That's got to be disheartening for the pitcher Ortega, as now he will face Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman. First pitch to Reginato is fouled, back and out of play. So it'll be an 0-1 count. One runner on at second base. We'll see if Ortega can get his second out against Reginato here. Ortega now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled once again back into the net for strike two. So it'll be an 0-2 count to Reginato, as Ortega gets a new ball. Got to say, 7 runs here in the first 2 innings for the Colt 45s. It's exactly what they wanted to do, pile them on quick. Not what the Sharks were looking for, as they're still at no runs. Anyway, here's the pitch from Ortega. It's going to be a curveball. It'll miss the outside corner for ball one. So it'll be a 1-2 count now to Reginato. Not the most exciting game you've ever seen, as it looks to be a quick blowout here in the bottom of the second. Ortega now sets up. Here's the pitch. That is a fastball. It'll miss low for ball two. So 2 balls and 2 strikes as the count evens up for Reginato. We'll see if he can make something happen here again for the Colts. Drive in another run, maybe. One out. As Ortega takes his sign, now he'll set back up. Here comes the pitch. Curveball, it'll catch the zone for strike three. So Reginato set back to the dugout, and Ortega finds his second out of the inning. That'll bring up Derek Ray, the left fielder. It'll be his second time facing off tonight against Ortega. He walked in his first at-bat. Let's see what he does here. Ortega gets his sign, trying to get out of this inning without letting any more damage be done. He'll throw a first-pitch fastball that swung on and missed by Ray. It'll be no balls and 1 strike now with 2 outs to the left fielder as Ray steps back into the box. Ortega now takes his sign and sets up. Here comes the pitch. another fastball swung on and missed by Ray. So he quickly goes down 0-2 with two outs here. And it looks like Ortega may be able to get out of this one quick if he can keep this up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed again. So three consecutive swings and misses from Ray provides Ortega with his third and final out of the inning. Two runs scored here for the Colt 45s. It'll make it a 7-0 ball game heading into the top of the third. We'll see if the Sharks can get some of those runs back when we come back. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. And with that, we'll see you in the top of the third after the break.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KTNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, welcome back, folks. It's the top of the third inning of this game between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. The 45s lead it 7-0 here as we head into the top of the third. Sharks still looking for their first run. They'll hope to do so now as the lead off, as the number one spot, I'm sorry, Anthony DiVittorio, the center fielder, is going to come up to the plate. It looks like the pitcher, Peyton Jeffries, is going to come back out on the mound after two consecutive shutout innings for the Colt 45s to start off the game. He'll be looking to keep that momentum going. Here is DiVittorio walks up to the plate. He'll adjust his gloves a bit before stepping on into the box. Jeffries gets his sign, sets up. Here's the delivery. That one will catch the outside corner for strike one. Nice fastball there from Jeffries. 0-1. Jeffries sits back up. Here's the second. That one is popped straight up towards third base. And it looks like Reginato is going to get under it and make the catch. So a quick first out for the Colt 45s. Not what the Sharks were hoping to do. As Anthony Perez, the shortstop, is going to head up to the plate. Here comes the pitch from Jeffries. That is going to be a high fastball. It misses the zone for ball one. So, 1-0 count now to Perez as he watches another fastball go by for ball two. That one missed high as well. So, Jeffries is going to look to come back here. Got a quick first out, looking for a second. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. Another fastball from Jeffries gets his first strike of the at-bat. The count will move to 2-1 with one out here in the top of the third. Now here's the delivery. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. It'll be 2-2 with one out here in the top of the third inning. Jeffries, once again, takes his sign and sets up. Now he's just going to stand there a bit, and Perez calls time, steps out of the box, takes a little bit of a hack. Now he steps back in. Now here's the pitch, and strike three, swing and a miss. From Perez, so Jeffries gets it done against Perez, sends him packing back to the dugout, and with that,
it'll be a two-out, none-on situation for Cesar Ortega, the catcher, as he walks up to the plate. Ortega grounded out his last at-bat. Let's see what he does here, as Jeffries hopes to get out of this one quick. Nice curveball there. That'll catch the outside corner for strike one. Rain went away for a bit. Now it starts to pick up again. Here's the delivery from Jeffries. That one's going to be lifted foul just over the third baseman's head for strike two. As Ortega steps out of the box and takes a couple of hacks, tries to straighten out his swing a little bit. Jeffries, you're in a good situation. It's an 0-2 count with two outs here in the top of the third. He's been working quick tonight. Sure has helped out the defense with some stellar pitching so far. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, and this time lifted into center field. It'll fall in front of the center fielder, Bryce Tweet, for a base hit. So unfortunately, Jeffries there gives up a little bloop base hit into center field with two strikes. It'll bring up Sal Munoz. Sal Munoz, I have a tough time pronouncing that that N. Either way, Munoz struck out in his last at-bat. This time he'll be looking to do something different as Ortega leads off of first. That one is going to be spiked into the dirt. Nice block there from the catcher, Williams. But it'll bring up a 1-0 count for Munoz. And now the wind's picking up a little bit. Rain is kind of blowing into my face here. It's really picking up. So here's the pitch from Jeffries. That one is tapped foul. Took one bounce and hopped into the glove of Williams. It'll be a 1-1 count. Two outs here in the top of the third inning. As Munoz hopes to maybe make something happen here for the Sharks. They sure need it. Down 7-0. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. A nice curveball there from Jeffries that just totally fooled Sal Munoz. That'll make the count 1-2. Here comes the next one. Swung on and missed for strike three. So an impressive outing here in the top of the third from Jeffries once again. He gets his third consecutive shutout inning to start off this ballgame. Ends it with a nice strikeout. So with that, we'll head into the bottom of the third. 7-0, Colt 45s. They'll see if they can extend that big lead even a little more. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They have just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market features sandwiches and burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and more, including dessert. Eat in. Call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or you can even order online. Head over to Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself. And with that, we will see you in the bottom of the third inning.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the third inning. This matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks, as the pitcher Noble Ortega heads back out onto the mound for his third inning. He has given up 5 runs in the first, 2 in the second. The lead held by the Colts is 7 runs. The Sharks still have yet to score their first. Been a bit of a rough go for the Sharks so far. Wind still blowing pretty hard here at Tiger Field. Rain falling a bit, not much, so I don't expect any delays. However, this wind is making it a bit chilly down here. So with that, we will see Ethan Williams, the catcher, come up for his second at-bat of the ball game. He had a walk in his first one. He'll be looking to maybe get a base hit here as Ortega trying to limit the damage done so far. Now here's the pitch. Fastball high. It'll miss the strike zone for ball one. So a quick 1-0 count as Ortega heads back up onto the mound. Now he is going to set up. Here comes the pitch in the dirt for ball two. So to start off the batter, it's going to be 2 balls and no strikes. Williams takes a step out of the box, then steps back in. Ortega just having a little bit of a rough time finding the zone tonight. When he does, it seems like the 45s really are taking advantage of it. Now here's the pitch from Ortega. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Not sure that was a strike, but Williams went after it anyway. He steps back into the box. The count will be 2 balls to 1 strike with no outs here in the bottom of the third. Now Ortega sets it up. Here's the delivery. That one will catch the outside corner for strike 2. So Ortega comes back from that 2-0 start and evens it up at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Now he'll look down and take his sign. Sets up. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt for ball 3. So the count will move full to Ethan Williams, the catcher, as Williams takes a deep breath, and then steps back into the box. Ortega shaking off a couple of signs. There's something he really wants to throw here. Now he'll deliver. Swung on and driven into the left center gap. That one is going to be cut off by the left fielder, who will send it back in quickly. That sure was a hard hit ball. It'll be a single for Williams. Looked like it might be more, but he just had a lot of topspin on that one, and it was able to fall into the grass and slow down a bit, allowing the left fielder Rodriguez to cut it off and send it back in, limiting Williams to just one bag. So that'll bring up Nate Scott, designated hitter, who takes a first pitch strike. Wind, like I said, staying strong here. Kind of blowing my papers around. It'll be an 0-1 count to Scott as Ortega takes a look at the runner and now delivers. That's going to be a fastball high for ball one. It'll be a 1-1 count now as Ortega gets the ball back and steps back up onto the driver. Now taking his sign. Sets up. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes. Foul ball. Back into the parking lot. So Williams is going to have to head back on over to first. Colt 45 is really taking advantage of that prolonged delivery from Ortega, who just can't seem to hold those runners on like he wants. The count is 2 balls and 2 strikes, appears, as Ortega sets up. Now he'll throw on over to first. And Williams is back in sliding safely. Scott steps back into the box here as Ortega takes his sign. Now Ortega sets up. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be high for ball 3. So the count will move full to Scott as Ortega gets the ball back. And now Williams takes his lead first. So now Ortega sets up. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on and blooped out into center field. The catch will be made. No. Dropped once again by the shortstop, Anthony Perez, who made a nice diving attempt out into center to try to catch that bloop. However, it falls. It looks like that'll be a base hit. That was some extraordinary effort from the shortstop, Perez. Runners will be safe all around, so it'll be runners on first and second here in the bottom of the third, bringing up Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman. The Colt 45s get their leads at first and second. Now here's the pitch. That one is going to be a high fastball. It'll miss the strike zone for ball one. Ortega still has yet to get his first out of the inning. He's hoping to get it here from Cortez. If he fails to do so, he'll face the top of the 45's order without an out. Here's the pitch now from Ortega. That will miss inside for ball two. Wind still blowing strong here at Tiger Field. Two balls and no strikes to Scott. We've got Williams at second and Scott at first. Sorry, it's going to be Cortez at the plate. He sends a long, hard-hit drive, but it's going to be foul over towards that right side. It'll now be a 2-1 count to Cortez as Ortega gets a new ball. He'll take his sign now from the catcher. He sets up. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Low, ball three. So Ortega continues to struggle here against Cortez on the verge of allowing another walk. As he heads back up to the mound. Ortega looks down, takes his sign. He'll set up now. Here comes the pitch. Swung on. Hard ground ball over to the first baseman. He's going to toss it over to the second. Back to first. That one's going to be underthrown, allowing a run to score as it heads on to the dugout. So it looks like it'll be a fielder's choice there for Isaiah Cortez, but he gets an RBI out of it. Maybe. Looks like it was an error on the shortstop who made a poor throw over to first, allowing Williams to score. The score becomes 8-0 as the top of the order comes up for the Colt 45s. Going to be Arive Camacho, the shortstop, once again. The Sharks have one out, but are dealing with a runner on first. Runner goes, and that one's going to get behind the catcher Ortega, and it looks like Cortez is going to be in there with another stolen base for the Colt 45s. So, again, taking advantage of that long delivery from Ortega, the Colts get another stolen base. And Camacho is looking at a 1-0 count as the ball, again, ticked off the glove of the catcher Ortega. Now, here's the pitch. That is going to be low, a fastball that misses the zone for ball two. Now, I got to tell you, every inning here that Ortega has pitched has been a long one. We're in the bottom of the third. The game has reached its hour and 15-minute mark. Here's the pitch. Low in the dirt. It'll be a 3-0 count now. Ortega still just struggling to find that strike zone. Very reminiscent of the game last night in which the Sharks lost by 9 runs. Tega sets up again. Here's the pitch. Camacho showing bunt. That was something straight out of a Little League game, I'll be honest. When I was playing in Little League, when it was a 3-0 count, we'd wave the bat out like we were going for a bunt or something, try to rattle the pitcher up, and that's exactly what Camacho did. He held out bunt, but then brought it back. Now he'll see strike two go by, and the count is full, just like that. And not sure, maybe he's regretting faking that bunt there, that
allowed Ortega to get an easy first strike. Now here's the pitch. Grounded sharply over to the shortstop, Perez, who makes the throw over to first. It'll be tough for Garcia, the first baseman, to pick out of the dirt, but he does. That'll be two outs now for the Sharks as the runner on second, Cortez, advances over to third. So two outs. Runner on third here for Blake Tweed. As Tweed steps into the box, Ortega hoping to get out of this inning after allowing one run already. Here comes the pitch now. That's going to not sure exactly what happened there. Cortez is trotting home as the umpire comes out to the plate. I have no idea what happened. The ball, that's what happened. The ball nicked off of the batter Tweed, but it looked like nobody knew it because Tweed stayed there as on third base Cortez trotted home. It then deflected off of the catcher Ortega's mask, and it looked like the umpire was calling time, but there was just a lot of confusion on that play. Anyways, it's going to be a hit-by-pitch as Tweet heads on over to first. Cortez will have to stay over at third base, so it'll be runners on first and third as Kyle Norton is brought up. He had an RBI single in the first and then a walk in his second at-bat. Now here's the pitch from Ortega. That ball is grounded over to the second baseman who fields it, throws it on over to first, and that'll be the third out of the inning. So the Sharks get out of it after allowing one run. We'll head into the top of the fourth inning as the Sharks try to minimize that 8-run deficit that they're in now. We will see you after the break.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
All right, welcome back, folks. It's the top of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. The pitcher for the Silicon Valley Sharks, Noble Garcia, is up to the plate. He just saw first pitch fastball go by for ball one. Watches another one go by in the dirt for ball two now. As Jeffries, still on the mound, looks for his fourth consecutive shutout inning. Jeffries now sets up and delivers. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the bottom of the zone. Another fastball for strike one. So it'll be a 2-1 count now to the pitcher Ortega. Jeffries now delivers again. That one is grounded over to the first baseman who stays down and makes a nice play. Tosses it on over to Jeffries covering first and gets the first out of the inning. And just like that, Nolan Ortega, the pitcher, is sat down, bringing up the second baseman, Josh Alacon. Jeffries headed back up to the mound. He's done very well so far for the Colt 45s tonight. Like I said, giving up no runs through 3 1/3 so far. He delivers a first pitch fastball that's going to miss low for ball one to Alacon. Now here's the delivery. That one is grounded lightly back up the middle to the pitcher Jeffries, who makes a nice play and throws it on over to first. So it bounced off of the glove and up into the air of Jeffries, but Jeffries snatched it right back out of the air and then threw it on over to first for the second out of the inning. And that'll bring up Caleb Rodriguez, the left fielder for the Sharks. As Rodriguez, the lefty, steps into the box. Jeffries here looks like he could have another quick inning if he plays his cards right. Here's the pitch. That one is going to be lifted high and foul over to the left side. A swarm of young boys go chasing after it. If they get that ball and turn it into the snack bar, they'll get something nice to eat. So that'll make it a quick 0-1 count to Rodriguez as Jeffries once again takes his sign, now sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike two. And now all the boys come headed back. At the front of the pack is the boy who got the ball. They're having a good time here tonight at Tiger Field, despite the cold weather. And with that, that's going to be a nice ground ball over to the third baseman, Reginato, who tosses it on over to first for out number three. So another quick inning for Jeffries as he gets the job done once again. That'll bring up the bottom of the fourth as the Colt 45s look to add on to that 8-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, who have moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of the Crown Motors, the Cypress Square Shopping Center. We'll see you in the bottom of the fourth after the break.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
All right, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the fourth inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. We're going to see Bryce Tweet, the center fielder, come up to the plate for the Colt 45s. He struck out in his first at-bat, then reached on an error in his second. He's looking to do something a little more here, maybe get a base hit or more, as he comes up for the third time. The pitcher Ortega still out on the mound after giving up 8 runs through the last 3. They'll be looking to hopefully get out of this one quicker than the last. The wind is still pretty strong here at Tiger Field, maybe settling down a little now. As that first pitch from Ortega is going to hit Tweet. So looks to be the start of maybe another rough inning for Ortega as Tweet walks on over to first base. We will now see Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman, come up for the third time tonight. He reached on a fielder's choice in his first at-bat and then struck out in the next. So, again, he'll be looking to do something a little more productive here. The score here is 8-0 in the bottom of the fourth. A little bit of a blowout as the Colts look to add on.
Ortega sets up. Here's a pitch. That ball is going to miss low. After giving up a plethora of stolen bases earlier in the game, it looks like Ortega has now shortened his stride a little bit. He's just going with a quick step stride to the plate instead of kicking that leg up. The count will be 1-0 to Reginato. Now here's the pitch. And that one is going to hit Reginato. So that short step stride not working out so far for Ortega. He hits the first two batters of the inning. Looks like the first baseman, Garcia, is going to go over to Ortega and have a little bit of conversation with him. We've got runners on first and second as Derek Ray, the left fielder, comes up to the plate. So far, he has walked and struck out, so he'll be looking for his first hit of the night. Ortega really just struggling in this game, but it doesn't look like the Sharks have much in the way of pitching. So he's just going to have to deal for now. Ortega now comes set. Here's the pitch. That is not going to hit the zone. It'll be a fastball for ball one. Now, we've got no rain coming down now. Looks like there's a little bit of a chance that it'll start coming down in the next hour. We'll see what happens as Ortega comes set and now delivers to Ray, who watches a fastball go by for a strike. So the count moves to 1-1. Long game so far. It's been about an hour and almost 30 minutes as we're just in the bottom of the fourth inning now. Here comes the pitch, and that one's going to be spiked in the dirt. Runners look like they're about to go, oh boy. A nice block from the catcher Ortega, but it looks like that one got him right where you never want to get hit. Whew, he's going to take a little bit of a walk around. Now his manager, Cesar Ortega, is going to come out. I forgot, the catcher is actually Cesar Ortega Jr., the son of the coach Ortega. So now they're going to take a little bit of a walk down that first baseline. Ortega still in a little bit of a pain there. Just said it. So he dropped down to block that ball that was spiked in the dirt. It hit him right. Right in the, well, I'm not sure what I should say. You are probably imagining where he got hit now. I think I've made it quite clear. Don't want to say anything bad on the air. So he's now going to head back into the dugout, and it looks like they're going to make some changes out in the field. We've got someone on the bench running out to take a spot at shortstop. Maybe it was already the shortstop who had run in for some reason. Don't know exactly what's going on here, but we're having a little bit of a break as runners are now converging and conversing. And the first baseman, Garcia, is going to head out to the mound to have another chat with the pitcher Ortega. The count to Derek Ray is 2-1 at the moment. As we wait for something to happen, it looks like, yeah, they are going to make some position changes here as Cesar Ortega, the manager, comes out to talk to the umpires. They're having a little bit of a chat. Oh, not sure what's going on here. Ortega with his dad, Ortega. Walking over now down the third base, down the third baseline. They're chatting with Colt 45's manager, Derek Fasking. Sorry. So we'll head over to a quick break as we wait for something to happen here and wait for maybe someone else to get geared up and get behind the plate.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 15th Annual Taste of Reading 2022, Sunday, June 12th from noon until 4 at Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Billies.
The Stonehearts, Hook, Refugia, and Mark McAbee and Jason Schroeder of Clearcuts. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. Reading West Rotary would like to especially thank O2 Employment Services and Sun Oaks Health Club for their underwriting sponsorship to their local breweries for this year's Taste of Reading. There will be fun for the entire family, so come on down to the 15th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 12th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets online at tasteofreading.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
All righty. Welcome back to the top of the fifth inning of this matchup between the Red and Co. 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. Not too much of an exciting matchup here as the Colt 45s lead 11-0. It's been a good game for them so far. That is not the case for the Sharks, as the Sharks have given up 11 runs through just four innings. Not on a lot of hits either. Really, the deciding factor has been hit by pitches and walks, as the Sharks have given up an abundance of those. Anyways, it'll be Matthew Garcia, the shortstop, coming up to bat for the second time tonight. He sees a first pitch curveball that'll miss high from Peyton Jeffries, the pitcher, who has thrown four consecutive shutout innings so far for the Colts. Now he'll throw a fastball that misses outside for ball two. So Garcia steps back into the box. Garcia struck out quickly in his last at bat. Now he'll hit one weakly over to the first baseman in the air, Norton, who makes the catch. And it'll be one out to start it off for Peyton Jeffries. It'll be Rino Ocampa, who started out in right field but moved to second base earlier in the game after the catcher Ortega was injured. He also struck out in his first at-bat, and now doesn't look too happy with his bat. Looks like maybe he thinks there's a little bit of a break in it or something. He was tapping it on the dirt, and I guess he felt like there was a little too much vibration there. As he goes in, grabs a new one, and heads back out onto the field. Jeffries, one out. Looking for another quick inning here. Throws a fastball, fouled off by Ocampa back into the net. So the count will go 0-1 quickly. And now here's the pitch from Jeffries. That is a fastball. It'll miss high. It'll be a 1-1 count with one out here in the top of the fifth inning. So here's the next one from Jeffries. Swung on and fouled again back into the net. It'll be a 1-2 count as Jeffries looks to get his second out of the inning. Now here comes the pitch. Nice curveball falls right into the strike zone for called strike three. And just like that, Jeffries has his second out of the inning. And Rino Ocampa is put away with his second strikeout of the night. So the order will turn over here for the Sharks as the center fielder Anthony DiVittorio comes up to the plate. He walked in his first at-bat and then popped out in his second. He's looking for his first hit of the night. Watches the first pitch fastball go by for a strike. It'll be 0-1 to DiVittorio. Now as Jeffries delivers again, strike two. Swing and a miss this time from DiVittorio, as it looks like Jeffries is on the verge of getting another 1-2-3 inning. Now here's the pitch. That one is popped foul, back and out of play, into the parking lot. So the count will stay 0-2 as Divitorio battles a pitch off to stay alive. Now Jeffries takes the sign, delivers. That one will catch the inside corner for strike three. And Jeffries continues his stellar outing for the Colt 45s as he heads back into the dugout. He has been very impressive so far. Five straight shutout innings. As we head into the bottom of the fifth, the Colt 45s lead 11-0. Now remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. Head over to Lucky Miller's Deli and Market's new location at 2495 Athens Avenue to pick up a bite to eat. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself. With that, we'll head into the bottom of the fifth. Again, Colt 45's lead 11-0 and look to extend that lead even further.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the fifth inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. The game, to be completely honest with you, has been a big struggle for the Sharks so far. They have given up 11 runs through four innings while scoring none of their own. Coming up to bat for the Colt 45s is going to be Bryce Tweet, looking for his first hit of the night. He has struck out, reached on an error, and was hit by a pitch in his last at-bat. So he's looking to do something for the Colts here. Maybe extend that 11-run lead a little bit. The Colts have scored in every inning so far, 5 in the first, 2 in the second, 1 in the third, and 3 last inning in the fourth. We'll see how many they score here as the pitcher, Noble Ortega, is still out on the mound. He started this game. I can't imagine his arm's feeling too good. He has thrown a lot of pitches so far. And however, it looks like the Sharks just do not have much else in the way of relief for him. So looks like he's just going to have to push through it and go a few more. Anyways, Tweet steps into the box now to see his first pitch. Ortega winds up to deliver. Here it comes. That is the fastball. It misses high. Ortega really has struggled to hit that strike zone all night. He has walked several batters tonight and has hit 4 on separate occasions. Now with a 1-0 count, he'll wind up again. Here comes the pitch. For ball two. So to start the inning off, on deck, we've got the third baseman, Wyatt Reginato, and now I've got a moth flying around and hitting me all over. Anyways, Ortega winds up to deliver. Here's the pitch. It's a fastball, misses high for ball three. So three consecutive balls to start off Tweed and the inning as Ortega gets the ball back from his catcher, now steps back up onto the rubber. He winds up to deliver now. Here it comes. That one is drilled into right field for a base hit. And Tweed gets his first hit of the night. I don't know if that was it was a 3-0 swing, hard hit ball. Not sure if Ortega would prefer that to a walk or not, but either way, the Colts have a runner on first with no outs. That brings up Wyatt Reginaldo, the third baseman out of Folsom Lake College. He is also looking for his first hit of the night. He's got a he reached on a fielder's choice in his first at-bat, struck out in his second, and was hit by a pitch in his third. So now as he comes up, he's going to watch a first-pitch curveball go by for ball one. That one misses outside as Tweed takes his lead off of first. Ortega steps back up onto the rubber. Now takes his sign. He'll come set. Looks at that runner over at first. Here comes the pitch. That one is swung on, jammed the hitter, Reginaldo, but it'll fall in the infield, and Reginaldo makes it to first base safely. And now an overthrow at first, allowing both base runners to advance. So it was a little jam shot there that just went right over the pitcher's head, fielded by the shortstop, Perez. Reginaldo made it to first base, and the throw from Perez went high and out of play, allowing both runners to move over to second and third base. Anyways, that'll bring up Derek Ray, the left fielder. He'll come up for the fourth time tonight. He is 1-for-2 with a walk and a strikeout. He singled in his last at-bat. We'll see if he can do something similar here. I think they're going to rule that an infield single for Reginaldo as Derek Ray watches the first pitch fastball go by for ball one. 1-0 count now with no outs, runners on second and third, and it's looking to be a rough inning again for the Sharks as Ortega is still looking for his first out. He'll come set and now deliver. Fastball, that one is going to catch the outside corner for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Ray with no outs, runners on second and third. Ray looking for his first RBI of the night. Could get it here as Ortega now winds up and delivers. Swung on and missed, strike two. So Ray goes down one ball to two strikes. He'll look to stay alive on this next pitch as Ortega is trying to find his first out of the inning. Ortega nods at his sign, comes set, winds up, here's the delivery. That one will catch the inside of the strike zone, and Ray is put away as he watches a fastball go by, catch the inside corner for strike three. So Ortega does it. He finds his first out of the inning, and that'll bring up the catcher Ethan Williams, who is 2-for-2 tonight with a walk as well. He'll be looking to make that 3-for-3 as Ortega looks down and catches his sign. Now winds up and delivers. That one's going to be in the dirt. It scoots away from the catcher Perara, who quickly tracks it down. The runners will hold, probably because they're up 11-0. It'll be a 1-0 count now to Williams. Again, looking for his third hit of the night. Now, I got to say, a big part of the story here for the Colt 45s has been the bottom half of their order. The 6, 7, and 8 hole have gotten the majority of the Colt 45's hits for the night. And with that, Williams is going to watch a fastball go by for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count with one out here. Bottom of the fifth inning, runner on second and third. Ortega now winds up and delivers. That's going to be a fastball high. The count rolls over to 2 balls and 1 strike. And you can really tell, like we said earlier, Ortega's arm is just hanging a bit. He looks to be in a little bit of pain. He'll definitely need some ice out of, after this outing. He's thrown a lot of pitches tonight, but like we said, the Sharks just don't have much in the way of relief for him as he throws another fastball high. For ball three, it'll be a 3-1 count with one out now. So Ortega once again will step up on the rubber and take his sign. He sets up now. The wind has died down, luckily enough. Here's the delivery from Ortega. That's going to miss the strike zone as well. A fastball up and away as Ethan Williams heads on over to first base on his second walk of the night. Nate Scott now, the designated hitter, coming up to bat. He's 2-for-3 tonight. Had a 3-run single in the first, another single in the second, and a strikeout in his last at-bat. Now it looks like there's a little bit of confusion at the plate as Scott kind of takes a second before he steps in. I don't know what's going on here. Well, now it looks like we'll play. Scott steps in. Bases are loaded now for the Colt 45s with one out. Ortega hoping, praying for a double play here. Here's the pitch. That one is fouled back into the net. A fastball for strike one. So the count will be 0-1 now with one out here in the bottom of the fifth inning. As Ortega gets a new ball from the umpire and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. He's still in the windup with a runner on third. Here we go. Here's the pitch. That's going to be in the dirt. Nice block from the catcher, Pereira. It was a curveball for ball one. The runners hold. It'll be a 1-1 count now with one out to the designated hitter, Scott. Scott steps back into the box. Ortega looking down, takes his sign once again. Now he'll start his windup. Here it comes. Fastball again in the dirt, blocked by Pereira. It'll be a 2-1 count with one out now. Now it looks like a little bit of a drizzle picking up here. Tiger Field. We've stayed dry for most of the night. Now the delivery from Ortega. That one is a hard ground ball. Takes a hop into the glove of the second base shortstop, who tosses it on over to second, then over to first for a double play. And that's exactly what the Sharks needed. Ortega does his job, gets a ground ball. And a nice play from the shortstop, Perez, to turn two. And that'll bring us to the top of the sixth here at Tiger Field. Score remains 11-0 as the Sharks get their first scoreless inning on the books. So after the break, we'll come back to the top of the sixth, where it looks like Jeffries is going to come back out on the mound.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. It is the top of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field. Colt 45s versus the Sharks. The score is still 11-0. As Peyton Jeffries comes back out on the mound, he's going to be looking for his sixth scoreless inning. Up to bat, we will see. We will see Anthony Perez, the shortstop. Oh, and I'm sorry. It looks like we actually have a new pitcher. So Jeffries is going to be taken out. It's going to be Jackson Torsey, right-hander out of Folsom Lake College, for the Colt 45s now. Coming in to relieve Jeffries, who had a stellar outing. Five scoreless innings for the Colt 45s. And assuming the Colts are able to close this one out and not lose this 11-run deficit, Jeffries will receive a W on his resume. As Torsey finishes up his warm-ups now. We're going to see Anthony Perez, the shortstop, come up to bat for the Sharks. He'll be looking to get something started. They don't want to leave that zero up on the scoreboard for much longer. As Perez now walks up and takes a step into the batter's box. Umpire just dusted off the plate for us. Now Torsey is going to step up onto the rubber. He looks down and takes his sign from the catcher. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball way inside. It'll miss for ball one. However, that was some great velocity from Torsey, so it's obvious he's got an arm here. We'll see if he can get it under control after throwing a first pitch ball to the hitter Perez. Now Torsey gets his sign, sets back up. Here's the pitch. That is going to miss low for ball two. So it'll be a 2-0 count now to Perez. Perez looking for his first hit of the game. He is grounded out and then struck out in his first two appearances. Look to turn around here. So he watches a fastball go by for strike one. That one catches the outside corner. So the count moves on over to 2-1 as Torsey picks up his first strike of the night. Now the delivery. That one's again going to be way inside, nearly hits Perez. And it'll be a 3-1 count. So three balls, one strike here in the top of the sixth inning. Here comes the pitch from Torsey. Swung on and grounded lightly down the third baseline. Fielding it is Reginato, who makes a nice throw over to first. Wow, that was a great play to get the first out of the inning for the 45s. It was a lightly hit ground ball. Reginato ran in on it, fielded it cleanly, and on the run made a nice throw over to first for out number one. That'll bring up Cesar Ortega. No, sorry, it's not going to be Cesar Ortega. Cesar Ortega was taken out earlier in the game. I'm not sure who's coming up to bat here. It's going to be number 23, Tyler Pereira. So it's going to be the replacement for Ortega, Pereira, who moves into that number 3 spot. He watches two off-speed pitches go by for two consecutive balls. So it'll be a 2-0 count now to Pereira. As now Torsey throws a fastball. That one's going to be fouled off into the parking lot. That one hit a car, unfortunately. So now Torsey facing a 2-1 count against Pereira. We'll hope to draw a second out of the inning. That one will not quite find the strike zone. A fastball misses high. So it'll be a 3-1 count. Now to Pereira. Pereira looking to grab his first hit of the game. He's going to swing and miss at that one, though. It'll be a full count now with one out to Pereira. Torsey hoping to close out the at-bat here with one out. Now, Torsey grabs his sign, sets up. Here's the pitch. That one fouled back into the parking lot once again. That one does not quite catch any cars, luckily. The count will remain full as Pereira does a good job of staying alive. Torsey once again grabs a sign, now sets up. Here's the pitch. That one is drilled over the head of the third baseman Reginato and into left field. So Pereira picks up a hit. As the Sharks now have a runner on first with one out here in the top of the sixth. So that'll bring up Sal Munoz, the third baseman. Munoz has struck out twice tonight. And he'll be looking to flip that around. Hopefully make something happen here for the Sharks. They sure need it. He'll hit a ground ball to the second baseman, who's going to flip it over to the shortstop, now gunning over to first. Double play ends the inning. Colt 45s get out of it pretty quickly off of the double play. Nice play by those middle infielders for the Colts. And just like that, we'll head into the bottom of the sixth. Colts looking to extend that 11-run lead. And we'll see if Ortega comes back out onto the mound. In the meanwhile, we'll head on to the break.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 15th Annual Taste of Reading 2022. Sunday, June 12th from noon until 4 at Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Phillies, the Stonehearts, Hook, Refugia, and Mark McAbee and Jason Schroeder of Clear Cuts. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. Reading West Rotary would like to especially thank O2 Employment Services and Sun Oaks Health Club for their underwriting sponsorship to their local breweries for this year's Taste of Reading. There will be fun for the entire family, so come on down to the 15th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 12th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets online at tasteofreading.com.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It is the bottom of the sixth inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. A new pitcher in for the Sharks, having a little trouble seeing exactly who it is. Looks like it's going to be, let's see here. Not quite sure who it's going to be. Anyways, he's warming up now. It's going to be a right-hander on the mound, replacing Ortega, who gave up 11 runs through six innings. Poor guy threw a lot more pitches than he should have been made to, but the Sharks just really short on pitching, it looks like, tonight. Now it looks like it's going to be Sal Munoz on the mound. He moves over from third base to head up onto the mound. So he'll replace Ortega. Like we said, Ortega just had a rough outing tonight, giving up 11 runs over six innings. Munoz now will look to hopefully hold the Colts at their 11-run lead. Up to the plate now for the Colt 45s is going to be Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman. He'll be coming up for the fourth time tonight, seeing Munoz for the first time. Now, Cortez is looking for his first hit of the night. He has popped out, reached on a fielder's choice, and been hit by a pitch. Hoping to do something productive here for the Colt 45s. And looks like Munoz is going to have a little bit of a conversation there with his catcher, Parara. Now the catcher, Parara, is going to head back on behind the plate. So Cortez steps into the box as Munoz comes set. Now he'll deliver his first pitch of the game. Oh, boy. That one will find the strike zone for strike one. That might be the slowest fastball I have seen in any collegiate-level game. Here's the next pitch. Again, strike two. That one finds the plate. Cortez is having a hard time even getting a swing off because of how weird his timing is. I mean, man, I can't imagine that ball is going faster than 60 miles an hour. Now here's the next pitch of the at-bat. That one is swung on and lifted into left field. Left fielder coming in on it and the shortstop going back, neither of them will make a catch. The ball falls. So Cortez, with two strikes, is able to make something happen. He gets on to first. Looks like they're going to rule that a base hit for Cortez. Not sure either the shortstop or the left fielder were able to get a glove on it. So that'll bring up the leadoff hitter, Arive Camacho, and he'll face Munoz, the third baseman turned pitcher. I don't think Munoz is a pitcher at all. He does not look like it, as he is throwing just a bunch of Ephus pitches now. That'll draw a ground ball, however, from Camacho, and that's going to go to the second baseman, who tosses it to the shortstop. Now over to first, and that'll be a double play. So Munoz gets the quickest two outs of the game for the Sharks. That'll bring up Blake Tweed, the right fielder. He'll be looking for his first hit of the ball game. Like I said, Munoz really pitching very casually, throwing the ball like someone who does not pitch at all. Very slow on that fastball. Not sure if he's got anything else but a fastball. He's really just pitching like a position player would, I suppose, as he throws a first pitch strike to Tweed. Now he'll throw an Ephus that is going to hit Blake Tweed. Tweed now headed on over to first. So the Colt 45s will have a runner on first. That'll bring up Kyle Norton. Now that's the second time Tweed has been hit tonight, and it's his fourth free base as he walked two other times. So not much of a chance to hit at all tonight for Tweed. Norton now coming up to bat. He struck out in his last appearance. Let's see what happens. Munoz, first pitch fastball. That'll miss inside for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count now here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Munoz gets his sign now, delivers. That one is driven deep into right center field. That'll fall. It's headed to the wall. And it's going to be a sliding double and an overthrow now, as a run scores. No one's going to hold up at second. So a nice double that extends the Colt lead to 12 runs now, as Tweet comes around and scores from first. So it looks like Royce Knock is going to come up to bat tonight. He is filling in for the center fielder, Bryce Tweed. And Munoz looking for his third out of the inning, trying to get out of this one. Knock swings lightly and taps one down the third baseline. The third baseman comes on, cannot make the throw, as the Garcia, the first baseman, had to knock that one down. It was in the dirt. That'll move the runner on second over to third, Norton. So now Colt 45s have runners on first and third. That's going to be a infield hit for Royce Knock. And looks like that'll bring up the third baseman, Reginato, for the fifth time tonight. Here comes the pitch from Munoz. That one will hit Reginato. Oh, boy. And the bases are loaded now for the Colt 45s with two outs. It's been such a rough outing for the Sharks tonight. They are down 12-0 here in the bottom of the sixth. They have allowed a run in every inning except for the fifth. And that'll bring up Derek Ray, the left fielder. So Ray comes up, the crowd thinning out even more now. The Colts are up 12-0. Here's the pitch from Munoz. That ball is driven hard into left field. That one will go to the wall. It'll be off the wall, fielded by the left fielder now. And unfortunately, it looks like Knock held up at second, forcing Ray to hold up at first for another long single that was off the wall. Now, that is the third time here at Tiger Field I have seen a ball go off of a wall in the outfield, yet the runner has to hold up for a single. Wow. Either way, it'll score two runs for the Colts. As the score moves to 14-0, bringing up Ethan Williams, the catcher, once again. Here's the pitch from Munoz. That one is popped out into right field, down the line. Right fielder coming in. It'll fall foul just to the right of the line. So it'll be an 0-1 count to Williams. And at this point, I'm really just having trouble tracking everything that's going on. It's just become a bit of a chaotic game here as the Colts lead 14-0 with runners on first and second and two outs. Munoz looked like he might get out of this one quick, getting two quick outs to start it off, but now having given up three runs in the inning. That'll be a fastball in the dirt for ball one to Williams, so the count will be evened up at a ball and a strike with two outs here, bottom of the sixth inning still. Now, here comes the delivery from Munoz. That'll be a foul ball into the parking lot. It'll be a 1-2 count now, as the Colts are up 14-0. Oh, boy. Munoz gets his sign and once again sets up. Now he delivers. That ball is grounded to the first baseman, who will field it cleanly and take it on over. So after three runs on two outs, the Colts are finally put away, and we'll head on to the top of the seventh. Colt 45's lead, the Silicon Valley Sharks, 14-0. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They are proud sponsors of Red and Colt 45's baseball. And with that, we will see you in the top of the seventh.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the seventh inning here. Reading Colt 45s versus the Silicon Valley Sharks. I gotta be honest, not much of a game here tonight. The Colt 45s lead 14-0 as we head into the top of the seventh. Jackson Torsey back out on the mound. He, delivered a shutout inning for the Colts last inning in the top of the sixth. Peyton Jeffries, the starter for the Colt 45s tonight, threw five scoreless against the Sharks, as we are now going to see Noble Ortega, the previous pitcher for the Sharks, come up to bat. Let's see what he does. He reached on an error and then grounded out earlier in the game. Now Torsey winds up, delivers. That's going to be a fastball. Misses inside for ball one. Colts again looking for another quick inning. I think at this point they're just trying to get home as quick as possible as they're up 14 runs. Torsey grabs his sign. Now sets up. Here's the pitch. Nice fastball in the inside corner for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now with no outs here in the top of the seventh inning. Torsey once again gets his sign from the catcher, now sets up and delivers. Swung on and tapped towards the third baseman, Reginato. Reginato is not able to field the ball. It nicks off of his glove. So it looks like Ortega is going to reach, and they're going to rule that an error. So the second time tonight that Ortega has reached on an error. And that'll bring up Josh Alacon, the second baseman. He is struck out and grounded out tonight. Here's the pitch. He's going to show bunt. I got to say, that's an odd choice. Down 14 to nothing, and you're going to try to bunt it. Anyways, he doesn't lay it down. He pulls it back, but the ball still comes across the strike zone for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count. No bunt this time. That one will catch the outside corner, and Alacon is quickly down 0-2. So with Ortega at first, Torsi is looking for maybe a strikeout or a double play even here. 0-2, here's the pitch. That one is going to hit off the hands of Alacon. Now, that's kind of an interesting play. Alacon's headed over to first. Now, I would think he kind of almost started a swing, and typically in that situation, your hands are considered a part of the bat, and it would be ruled foul. However, the umpire says no and awards Alacon the base. So, two runners on now for the Sharks. This is the most they've threatened all game with no outs as Torsi winds up to deliver. Here it comes. That ball is grounded to the third baseman, Reginato, who's just going to go straight over to first. And that'll be the first out of the inning for the Reading Colt 45s. Runners advance to second and third. So a job done there by Caleb Rodriguez, the left fielder. That'll bring up Matthew Garcia, who has struck out and popped out in this game so far. He has an opportunity here to maybe score a run or two for the Sharks. Get that zero off of the scoreboard. He'll watch a first pitch fastball go by for ball one. Storsi gets the ball back from his catcher. Again, runners on second and third for the Sharks. Torsi now sets up. Here comes the pitch. That is going to miss high for ball two. So two balls and no strikes with one out here in the top of the seventh inning. Here comes the pitch from Torsi. That will catch the inside corner for strike one. So the count now moves to two balls and one strike to Garcia. Garcia hasn't shown to be too impressive with the bat, so I really think that Torsi can just try to go after him here. Here's the pitch. That will miss high, and it goes behind the catcher who's going to toss it back. It looks like they've got the runner in a pickle now, and they're going to tag him out at third base. So an instance of poor base running from the Sharks. It was an overthrown pitch, wild pitch, I'm sorry, that went over the head of the catcher, Williams. Williams got to it quick, tossed it to Torsi, who was covering home, and the runner decided he wanted to stop and head back over to third. Anyways, they threw it back over to third and tagged him out there. Still, the runner at second advances over to third, so at least the Sharks will have a runner at third. Now they're dealing, however, with two outs, as Garcia is still up with a count of three balls and one strike. Now Torsi sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be in the dirt. Again, gets past Williams. This time the Sharks decide not to run. So it looks like Garcia will get on with a walk. And the Sharks will have runners at first and third with two outs. That'll bring up Arimio Ocampa, who has struck out twice tonight. He has a chance now to bring across the first run of the ball game for the Sharks. Let's see if he can do it here. Torsi now looks down and gets a sign. He's hoping to get out of this one without allowing a run. He'll set up. Here's the pitch. That's going to catch the bottom of the zone for strike one. A nice fastball there from Torsi. Now, I'm not sure what the rules are in among – well, I guess this isn't league play. It's just club play. That one is going to be a wild pitch. Gets past Williams, and a run will score. So the first run of the ballgame – comes across for the Sharks on a wild pitch from Torsi. The runner at first, Garcia, moves over to second, and the count moves to 1-1. So the score now, 14-1. And speaking of which, that's just what I was talking about. I don't know what rules these two teams agreed upon. If they're going to maybe have a mercy rule instance here after the seventh. Anyway, here's the pitch from Torsi. Swing and a miss from Ocampa. So it'll be a 1-2 count now with two outs. Torsi just one strike away from getting out of this inning. He's allowed one run just now off the wild pitch. Runner on second, that's Garcia. Ocampa hoping to score him here. Here's the pitch. That's going to be high. Fastball misses for ball two. So two balls, two strikes, two outs. Runner on second. As Torsi once again gets his sign. He shakes one off, but he'll take this one. Now here he comes. Swung on and missed. Third strikeout of the game for Ocampa, and that'll end the inning. One run scored for the Sharks, and it looks like that'll bring us to the bottom of the seventh. No mercy rule here. We'll keep on going. Score is 14-1 as we head into the bottom of the seventh inning. We'll be back right after the break.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions. Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a dish-authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
All righty, folks, welcome back. It's the bottom of the seventh inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. Not much of a ball game here. The score is 14-1. The Sharks just scored their first run of the ball game up in the top of the seventh. Now Nate Scott, the designated hitter, up to bat. He is facing, for the first time tonight, Robert Munoz, who doesn't look to be much of a pitcher at all, but has been forced to come in due to the lack of pitching on part of the Sharks. Whoa, that's a deep drive into left field. That one's going, out of sight. I don't know where it went. Off the wall? Yeah, off the wall. Sorry, that one went out of view, blocked by the dugout. I was not able to see it. I think it was off the wall. Sent back in. Not quite sure what was happening. I think Nate Scott, the designated hitter, thought it was a no-doubt home run, or he thought it was a foul ball because he wasn't putting much effort into that run, ends up with just a single. Now Munoz throws a pitch to Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman. That's going to be a fastball it'll miss the strike zone for ball one. Here's the next pitch. Swung on and driven into center field. The center fielder, Divitorio, is under it, however. He's going to make the catch and send it in. So the Sharks get their first out of the inning. They've got a runner on first, and it'll bring up the top of the order for the Colt 45s. Arrive Camacho, the shortstop, coming up to bat once again. He is 2-for-3 tonight, two singles, ground out, strikeout, and a hit into a double play in his last appearance. Let's see what he does here. He's going to watch a first pitch fastball go by for strike one. Rain, a little bit of rain starting to come down here tonight at Tiger Field once again. Now here's the 0-1 pitch. That one's going to miss the outside corner. It'll be ball one, so a 1-1 count with one out here in the bottom of the seventh. Here comes the pitch from Munoz. Swung on and driven into center field. However, the center fielder, Divitorio, once again gets under it and makes the catch. Line drive out there for Alex Camacho. He sure put some good wood on that one, but it's not enough to get a hit out of it. So it's going to be Blake Tweed, the right fielder, coming back up. Remember, he's been walked twice and hit by two pitches, so he's gotten four free bases tonight. He's also struck out once. Now he'll hit a long drive into left field. That one's going to fall foul, however. These Colt 45s players sure are getting some decent wood on the pitcher Munoz, who is not throwing with any velocity at all. They're just staying back and kind of crushing the ball. Now the 0-1 pitch to Tweet. He's going to now line one foul over to the right side. So it'll be an 0-2 count now to Munoz, to Tweed from Munoz, as Munoz is looking to get out of the inning. He gave up three runs in the last inning, allowed the Colts to get to 14 runs. Anyway, here is the next pitch. That is going to miss high for ball one, so it'll be a 1-2 count now to Tweed, here with two outs in the bottom of the seventh inning. Tweed steps back into the box. Munoz gets his sign, now sets up. Here comes the pitch. It's an Ephus, popped straight up into the air, and the pitcher, Munoz, calls for it, makes the catch. So that'll end the inning. We'll head up into the top of the eighth, and the Sharks there get their second scoreless inning of the night. We'll see you in the top of the eighth after the break. Remember, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All right, welcome back to the top of the eighth inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. Like I've said many times before, we don't have much of a game here tonight. The Reading Colt 45s are absolutely blowing the Sharks out of the water. No pun intended there. But the score is 14-1 here in the top of the eighth, as it looks like we're going to see the batter Divitorio, the number one spot in center field, come up for the Sharks. He has walked once, popped out once, and struck out once, so he'll be looking for his first of the night still. As we've got a new pitcher for the Colt 45s, actually. It's going to be Dustin Niles out on the mound. Dustin Niles out of Folsom Lake College. Standing at a tall 6 feet 4 inches. He is looking to get another scoreless inning here for the Colt 45s. Rain starting to come down once again here at Tiger Field. Doesn't look like they have any intention of canceling this game, however. Sure is starting to come down a little hard, though. And you got to wonder, maybe if it stays coming down, it looks like it's supposed to keep raining for the next hour. You'll wonder if it stays this way. Maybe they'll cancel the game, kind of end the pain here for the Sharks. who are really struggling. So with that, it looks like Divitorio is going to come out to the plate. Niles looks down, gets ready for his first appearance here for the Colt 45s this season. He takes his sign and comes set now. And the pitch from Niles. Fastball, foul tipped by Divitorio. It'll be strike one. So no balls, one strike to start off the top of the eighth here. Divitorio steps back into the box. Niles looks down, takes his sign. He'll set back up here. Here comes the pitch. Grounded sharply up the middle. It'll get through into center for a base hit. So Divitorio gets a leadoff hit. That'll be his first hit of the night. As Niles gives up a single to the leadoff hitter. Now we'll see the shortstop, Anthony Perez. He's also looking for his first hit of the night. I'm sorry. He's grounded out twice and struck out once. Niles looks down and takes a sign. Now he comes set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike one. Nice fastball there. Went in the dirt, but got Perez to chase. So it'll be an 0-1 count with Divitorio over at first. As Niles looks down and takes his sign, now he'll come set. Not paying much attention to that runner on first. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be a nice curveball. Falls right into the zone for strike two. So Niles jumps out to a quick 0-2 count against Perez. Perez is going to have to battle back here if he wants to avoid a strikeout. Now here comes the pitch. Runner goes. Swung and a miss. Throw down is going to be not in time. So Niles gets his first out of the inning on a strikeout. Unfortunately, they're not able to catch the runner at second. No, what's going on here? Something's happening. They called the runner out at second. I'm not sure why. I genuinely have no idea why they called that runner out. Maybe an illegal slide, maybe runner's interference or something. He was definitely safe, but anyway, he's going to go back to the dugout as Tyler Perrara comes up for the Sharks. Niles will be working with two outs now and no runners on instead of one out and a runner on second. So a nice break there for the Colt 45s. He throws a first pitch ball to Perrara. The count is 1-0. With two outs, here's the pitch. High fastball there. It'll be two balls and no strikes for Niles. Niles now looks down and takes his sign. Here he'll come set. Here comes the pitch. And that one's going to be in the dirt and past the catcher Williams for ball three. Rain still coming down pretty hard. Crowd's starting to thin out a little more. They're trying to get out of it. It's going to be a 3-0 count here to Perrara. And here comes the pitch from Niles. That one is going to be wide for ball four. So four consecutive balls thrown to Perrara. You got to wonder if the rain has a little something to do with that. Maybe getting the ball a little bit wet and slippery for Niles, who seemed to struggle with his control in that last at-bat. Number 16, now we'll see the third baseman, Sal Munoz, come up to the plate. He has struck out twice and grounded into a double play tonight. With two outs, we'll see what he can do against Niles. Niles now comes set. Here's the pitch. That's going to be low for ball one. Rain still coming down hard. You got to wonder if they're thinking about maybe calling this game short here in a minute. Niles now sets up once again. The count is 1-0. Here's the pitch. Nice fastball down the middle for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count. Here as Niles steps back up onto the rubber. Colt 45's not paying any attention to Perrara on first. They're just letting him take as big a lead as he wants. That ball is going to be popped straight up. The catcher Williams headed over to it, and it's going to be into the stands for strike two. Now we've got another swarm of children running over to grab that ball. and they're a little bit upset that somebody else got there first. So now with one ball and two strikes, Niles will take his sign and sit back up. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the wall. So the count will remain one ball and two strikes here in the top of the eighth. As we know, fights to stay alive. We've got two outs. Tyler Pereira on first base. He's taking a nice lead. Here's the pitch. That one will miss the top of the zone. A nice off-speed there from Niles, but it won't quite catch the strike zone as the count moves now to two balls and two strikes with two outs. So Niles again setting up. Here he comes with the delivery. That's going to miss low this time. So the count will move full, and Niles in a bit of a pressure situation. He really wants to get out of this inning without allowing his pitch count to go any higher. He's got three balls, two strikes, and two outs. Now here's the full count pitch to Munoz. Runner goes. It's going to be a ground ball to the shortstop. He's going to go to first base and make the play. Nice play from Camacho. He was looking at second but ended up going to first. And that'll end the inning. Niles gets out of it, allows no runs. The score will remain 14-1 as we head into the bottom of the eighth. Rain still falling down here pretty hard. We'll see you after the break.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
All right, welcome back here, folks. It is the bottom of the eighth inning of this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. Not much of a game so far here. We've got a score of 14-1 in favor of those Colt 45s. Up to bat right now is going to be Kyle Norton, the first baseman for the 45s. He has singled tonight once, walked once as well, and struck out and grounded out. So he's going to be 1-for-3 on the night, looking for his second hit. So as he walks around to the left-hander's batter's box, he'll step in now. It's going to be Robbie Munoz still out on the mound for the Sharks as he winds up to deliver. Here's the pitch. Another slow fastball, misses high for ball one. Again, rain still coming down hard here at Tiger Field. Doesn't look like they have any plans to cancel the remainder of the game. Here's the next pitch from Munoz. It's going to be another fastball fouled off back into the net by Norton. So the count will become one ball and one strike with no outs here as Norton steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch from Munoz. Swung on and missed. That was a high fastball that Norton just couldn't quite reach, so it'll be a 1-2 count now to start Norton off. Now the 1-2 pitch from Munoz. That one will not quite catch the outside corner. It'll be ball two. So two balls and two strikes now to Kyle Norton, the first baseman. Now here comes the pitch from Munoz. That one is going to miss outside for ball two. So a 2-2 count now to Norton. Sorry, that was ball three. My apologies. It's going to be a 3-2 count as Munoz winds up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into center field for a base hit. Norton's going to round first and then head back as the outfielders seem to, sorry, the center fielder Divitorio seemed to struggle picking that ball up a little bit. It'll be Royce Knock coming up for the second time tonight. He had an infield single in his last at-bat. He'll be looking to do a job here for the Colts. Again, no outs, runner on first here, as Knock takes a first pitch strike on the outside corner. So no balls and one strike here to Knock. As Munoz sets up, here's the pitch. That one will not quite catch the outside corner this time, as the count moves over to one ball and one strike with Norton over at first. That ball is driven into right field for a base hit. Norton's going to hold up at second, but Knock just put some good wood on the ball there for his second hit of the night. So up comes Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman. He's already got a hit tonight, along with being twice hit by a pitch. He's got a runner in scoring position, another runner at first, with no outs. This ball will be grounded above the head. Sorry, it bounces above the head of the first baseman. One run is going to come around to score. It looks like Knox is going to hold up at third, and Reginato is going to be on first with a single now. So kind of an unfortunate event there for the Sharks. It was a routine ground ball over to first base, but it just took a bad hop and jumped right over the head of the first baseman, Garcia, allowing a run to score. And now with runners at first and third, we will see the left fielder, Derek Ray, come up to bat, and he's going to foul one off. So the count will be 0-1. Again, runners on first and third for the Colt 45s. No outs here, unfortunately, for the Sharks. As Munoz gets his sign and comes set, here's the pitch. That one is going to miss away as the count moves to one ball and one strike. Rain coming down even a little bit harder than it was now. Still, looks like we'll play on. Munoz comes set once again. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the outside corner for strike two. It'll be a 1-2 count now to Ray. Ray looking for his third single of the night, or third hit of the night. He's got two singles, two strikeouts, and a walk. Here comes the pitch from Munoz. Swung on and fouled back into the net. The count will remain one ball and two strikes with no outs here in the bottom of the eighth inning. So now Munoz once again comes set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed by Ray, and he'll be sent back to the dugout on a strikeout. So that'll bring up Ethan Williams, the catcher, once again. He's singled twice, scoring a run on one of those. He's got runners at first and third, still one out now for the Sharks. A double play could end the inning for them, if they're so lucky. Here comes the pitch from Munoz. Swung on and missed. That was a high fastball that Williams tried to go up and get, but couldn't quite reach. So it'll be an 0-1 count to start off the catcher. Munoz shakes off a sign. Now comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled over to the right side into the parking lot. No cars hit on that one, luckily. But the count will turn over to 0-2 with one out here. So Munoz, one strike away from his second out of the inning. Oh, boy. Big swing and a miss there from the hitter Williams, who is now sent back to the dugout. So second consecutive strikeout there for Munoz. He now has two outs, still runners on first and third. He could get out of this one with only allowing one run, however. He throws another pitch to Nate Scott, the designated hitter. Scott has gotten three hits tonight, three separate singles, as he looks for a fourth here. He'll drive that one into deep left field. The left fielder, however, is going to get under it and make the catch for the third out of the inning. So the score, the Colt 45 score one. They extend their lead to 15 runs to one. And it looks like we'll head into the top of the ninth, probably going to be the last half inning of this ball game. And we will see you guys in the top of the ninth after the break.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the top of the ninth inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Silicon Valley Sharks. It's going to be, it looks like Dustin Niles back out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. He's going to try to close this game out for him. As we will see, I believe, oh man, I lost it now. I think it's going to be Anthony DiVittorio. No, sorry, it's going to be Anthony Perez back out to hit. So, Perez, again, looking for his first hit of the night. And, again, like we've been saying, it's not much of a game here at Tiger Field. The score is 15-1. We're in the top of the ninth inning, hoping the Colts can just close this one out quick so everyone can get out of the rain and go home. I suppose the Sharks are trying to make this game a little bit more, a little bit easier to swallow. So, Dustin Niles now back out on the mound. He's going to hope to close this one out as he walks up to the rubber. Again, we've got Perez up to bat. Niles now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Strike one, fastball, taken by Perez. Niles gets the ball back now. 0-1 is the count. Now he'll set up. Here's the 0-1 pitch. That one is going to deflect off the glove of the catcher, Williams. It was a little bit high, so it'll be a 1-1 count. Rain still coming down steady and hard. And the count will be 1-1 for Niles as Williams has a little chat with him before heading back behind the plate. Perez now steps back into the box. Niles sets up. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be high up around the head of Perez for ball two. The count will move over to 2-1. Niles now takes his sign. He sets up. Here's the 2-1 pitch. That one is driven into left field. It'll get down, cut off by Ray, the left fielder. So he'll keep it a single for Perez. Perez gets his first hit of the night as we move on to Tyler Pereira up to bat. Hold up a second. Now, I was a little mistaken there, it looks like. So we're actually going to bring up Josh Alicon, the second baseman. It's a little bit odd. I suppose I had the order mixed up a bit. So Alicon will watch a first pitch fastball go by for a strike. It'll be an 0-1 count. Niles looking for his first out of the inning. As he sets up, now delivers. Here comes the 0-1. That's going to be a ball low, so it'll be a 1-1 count now. So, Niles gets the ball back once again, steps up on the rubber. Now he delivers. And Alakon shows bunt, but pulls it back as Niles delivers a high fastball for ball two. The count will move on over to two balls and one strike. Again, we've got a runner on first for the Sharks. No outs here in the top of the ninth. Niles now delivers. Bunt again shown by Alakon, but I guess he pulled it back as the ball came in and hit him in the back. So Alakon will head on over to first base. It's a hit by pitch by Niles. So runners on first and second now. And still Niles looking for his first out of the inning, trying to get out of this one without allowing a run. The score is 15-1 here in the top of the ninth as Caleb Rodriguez comes up to bat for the Sharks. Here's the delivery from Niles. That ball is driven into center field. The center fielder Tweed is under it. He makes the catch easily and sends it back into the infield. So just like that, Niles gets his first out of the inning. And he now will see Matthew Garcia, the first baseman. Garcia has yet to record a hit. He has struck out, popped out, and walked tonight. As Niles looks down and takes his sign, he'll now set back up. Again, he's dealing with runners on first and second with one out, trying to close out this game for the Colts. Here's the pitch. Swung on and popped up to the third baseman, Reginato, who gets under it and makes the catch. So the second pop out of the night for Garcia, he's sent back to the dugout as Erinio Ocampa comes out to hit. Ocampa has struck out three consecutive times tonight. Does not have a hit. Niles now has two outs. One more will end the game for the Colt 45s. Send the Sharks home for the night. Oh, boy. Ocampa called time. It looked like Niles was already in his delivery, but the umpire gave time to Ocampa. So Niles is going to have to reset here. Again, dealing with runners on first and second. Here's the pitch. That one nearly hits Ocampa. Or at least it looked like it did. It'll be a 1-0 count to Ocampa. Here comes the 1-0 from Niles. That ball is swung on and lifted into shallow center field. Tweet running in on it. He will come in and make the catch running. And that's the ball game. So Niles does the job, closes it out here for the Colts. Final score down here at Tiger Field, Colt 45's 15, Silicon Valley Sharks just 1. So quite the blowout we had here tonight. Struggling were the Sharks pitchers. We'll see what happens tomorrow. The Colts pick up their second consecutive win and boost their record to 3-2. The first time this season they have been above 500. They should be happy about that. And they'll try to take a little bit of that momentum into tomorrow night in their last game of the series against the Sharks. So, reporting to you from Tiger Field, I'm Austin White. Thanks for joining us on this KNCR broadcast of your Reading Colt 45s. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6 p.m.
We now return to our regularly scheduled programming.
908,000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need, and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby. The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect.
DINOVITE.com.
We've been using Dynovite, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy, a glow, and a bounce about him.
You get some Dynovite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Chihuahua that set a Guinness World Record as the oldest living dog makes today's Dean's List. Born January 9th, 2001, Toby Keith was 21 years and 66 days old on March 16th when the Guinness World Records confirmed he was the oldest dog alive and living in Florida. Giselle Shore is Toby Keith's human and says people can't believe how good he looks for his age. She adopted him from an animal shelter when he was just a few months old. Gisella says an elderly couple came into the animal rescue and said they couldn't take care of him anymore. His name back then was Peanut Butter, but then Gisella named him after the country music legend. The secret to a dog's life? Toby Keith's day consists of a morning walk, his favorite snack, which is a slice of turkey, and he goes on a few more short walks after that, then lies next to his human every day at work. Good dog, Toby Keith. You made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with the Fox Celebrity Profile with award-winning country duo Brooks and Dunn. They return to big arenas on the Reboot 2022 tour. Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn have a set list full of greatest hits. And now one of those hits has a new dance to go with it, thanks to the TikTok phenomenon of Neon Moon.
What is it like now playing Neon Moon? Is it like you look out and there's some people, they're just ready to go? What is that like now?
That thing dropped out of the sky.
They do. You can see them out there doing the dance, though. It's stuck.
They have a great shorthand working together on stage so many years now.
It's pretty funny. When we co-headlined with Reba, we had this huge set. We go into rehearsals, and Reba's up there with colored dots. She's putting them all over the stage because she's going to be here when these lights hit during that song. I just remember Ronnie and I out there staring at our set list like, let's play that song first, you know? And she's like, okay, I'm done. Y'all can take the stage. I'm like, we don't really need to.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say that it was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
I always had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability and security to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressure.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
As of now, nearly 20% of our territory is under the control of occupiers, almost 125,000 square kilometers. It is more than the territory of all Benelux countries together. Nearly 300,000 square kilometers are polluted with mines and unexploded ordnance.
That is President Zelensky talking in luck to Luxembourg, letting everybody know what's going on. As hard as they're fighting and as much as successes they've had and the struggles the Russians have had, they still have 20% or a fifth of the country. No one has to tell Admiral James Stavridis this, the 16th Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, author of a brand new book. His latest one is Risk It All, Nine Conflicts and the Crucible of Decision. And we know about all his other successful books. Admiral, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Brian.
Well, I think you could do a whole book on leadership in Zelensky, correct?
He's amazing. And it's a combination of three things, I think, that really stand out to me. Number one, his pure, raw physical courage. This was a guy who was offered a ride out of the country by the United States when the war started, said, I don't need a ride. Send me more ammunition. Number two, he's a powerful communicator. He's been able to use his background as a performer, frankly, very effectively in strategic communications that have galvanized the West. And third and finally, he's turning out to be a pretty smart tactician, where he is positioning his forces, moving them around on the battlefield, moving those chess pieces. You know, he gets advice from his senior military, but his fingerprints are all over it. There's a lot to admire about Volodymyr Zelensky.
You know, and it's not like if General Patton became president, you would say, this is the leader that we have. This is one that emerged in the battlefield in both world wars. We didn't really know what this guy was capable of. Why do you think he was able to rise to the moment?
First and foremost, motivation. You know, if you're Volodymyr Zelensky and you look over your shoulder from the front lines of the battlefield, who's behind you? It's your wife, your children. His wife and children were targets 2, 3, and 4 on the Russian kill list. Also behind him, his parents, the elders of Ukraine, his fellow citizens, his language, his culture, his city. So huge motivation, let's face it. And number two, what we're seeing about him is the ability to operate under extreme pressure, getting rid of the suit and tie, putting on the hunting gear, the tactical gear, inspiring people. He's done that perfectly. You know, the book I just wrote is called To Risk It All. He's someone who risks it all every day, and I salute his courage.
Right, and also the assassination squads. So we're 100 days into this war. Ukraine, this is the good news for Ukraine. They've retaken 20 small towns. They obviously were successful in holding off the Russians in the first phase. But in the second phase of the war, and by the way, 50 nations have restaffed their embassies. That's good news. But the bad news is they lost a fifth of their country, and Vladimir Putin's trying to take another major city. How do you characterize what we're seeing so far?
Yeah, I think you're right to call it kind of phase one, phase two, and it's important to do that. It's important to remember that in phase one, Putin's objective, his goal, was to take the entire country, to sweep across it. So huge credit to the Ukrainians for stopping that, alongside all of us in the West who provided the tools that the Ukrainians did to stop it. So phase one goes to the Ukrainians. Now we're in phase two, your point. And this one is right in the middle of the fight, Brian. My money is on Ukraine to kind of hold the Russians roughly where they are. They may get a little more territory, but I don't think Russian logistics, battle planning, communications are going to enable them to really step it up on that battlefield. So phase two is roughly what we see. There's going to be a kind of grinded out sense here. And then phase three is what's interesting. I think two things will happen. One is some of this conflict may shift to the sea, to the Black Sea, particularly if the West tries to open up grain shipments. And of course, phase three, I think, will end up with negotiation, because at some point there has to be a negotiation, an armistice, if you will, to end this conflict.
A couple of things are happening. People are losing interest in it. 22% less media coverage of it. That hurts Ukraine, even though Zelensky's done a great job. He even did a Zoom call with the Stanford University, going to various countries. So we know this. One thing we have agreed to do is include 4 high-mobility artillery rocket systems. Mm-hmm. We're going to send that over. But the battle lines, they say, the front is 620 miles long from Kharkiv to Mykolaiv. Right now, that's what will 4 missile systems do for that?
Short answer, not enough. We've got to put more of that kind of capability in their hands. Also in that package, again, a good thing, but not enough, are 4 more of the principal helicopters that can deliver munitions moving forward. You know, the administration here, the NATO countries together, have done a remarkable job pushing the tools forward. But the Ukrainians need more. And we ought to also keep this in perspective as follows, Brian. During Iraq and Afghanistan, we were spending 10, 20 times the amount we're spending on Ukraine every day. So we had the capacity to do this. It's a seminal moment for the West, and we've got to continue to step it up. HIMARS, these missile launching systems, good example of additional capability. Last thought. You know, that battle line you just mentioned, that's from Washington, D.C. down to a town you and I know pretty well, Jacksonville, Florida. Think about how big that is, how much of a space. So the Ukrainians have a lot of work to do. We need to put the tools in their hands to do it.
I love where they're like they're going into Kherson and trying to rattle the cages in Mariupol to let them know just because you have control of it, we're gonna do the guerrilla fashion. The name of the admiral's book is called Risk It All: 9 Conflicts and the Crucible of Decisions. If you're looking for a Father's Day book that will inspire, this is a perfect way to do it because that's it. People that rise to the moment. You have to wonder if you would be able to rise to the moment, no matter how small or big your decisions are. Admiral, thanks so much.
Brian, thanks for everything.
You got it. When we come back, Ben Domenech puts this in perspective. The president's speech last night and these friendly outlets that seem to be turning on him and the civil war that's happening in the White House itself.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain. Power.
We do not have a strategy of regime change in Russia.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
The United States remains committed to our one China policy. We do not support Taiwan independence.
A 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body. There is simply no rational basis for it in terms of about self-protection.
He supports a ban on sale of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. He does not support a ban on the sale of all handguns.
All right. Besides the 9mm comment, besides the this man's got to go comment, besides we will use our military to defend Taiwan comment, I think they're all on the same page. Ben Domenech joins us now. He's with the Federalist, but Fox News contributor as well. Hey, Ben, this is a pretty amazing week. We have not only have we witnessed the walkbacks. Now we find out behind the scenes the president's upset about it. And not only is are we saying it, and we've heard that, but NBC, CNN, Washington Post is reporting that. Not a good week for this administration. It seems like they're beginning to panic.
You know, it is not a good week in any way for this administration. And unfortunately, you know, I wish that that would have less of a negative impact on the country itself. You never want, as an American, to see an administration that people have so little confidence in. You know, you want to be able to, on some level, have trust and faith in an administration, even if you objected to him. And, of course, I did vociferously on so many different policy respects. You know, Barack Obama, you got to give it to him, had the guts to pull the trigger on that bin Laden raid, which was a risky proposition at the time and which obviously Joe Biden was opposed to behind the scenes. You want to be able to have a commander-in-chief who, when the chips are down, has the ability to make a decision that is critical for the future of the country and the world. Unfortunately, we don't have that in Joe Biden, and we have instead behind the scenes this dynamic that apparently, you know, we've all kind of suspected it from what we saw on the outside, but on the inside, it turns out they're saying the same thing too. They're basically, you know, feeling this tension with Joe, and he's feeling the tension with them, where he has to remind them that he's the president. He has to remind them that he's the commander-in-chief. That's not a good thing for the country. And, you know, what's more, James Holman, who's now at the Post, you know, has reported that a lot of this stuff that the president is saying about, for instance, student loan forgiveness is coming from the likes of Stacey Abrams, you know, someone who is obviously a repeatedly failed candidate, who is not, you know, someone who, you know, you can have any kind of political faith in about knowing that and charting the direction for the country, is destined, I'm sure, to end up losing again and refusing to admit her loss. And I think that that's something that, you know, is a sign that this White House is really listening to the wrong people. They're taking the wrong cues. And the people who are inside there, they just don't seem to be able to convince Joe that this isn't working, that, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong. You see the statements from people like Ron Klain, chief of staff, you know, basically saying this is okay, and you know the polls are wrong, or you know things are going to get better. You know, they pick up these little, you know, seedlings of the idea that, you know, Joe's numbers move up 2 points, and that means that everything's getting turned around. As the country is basically looking at this White House and doesn't even want to pay attention to it anymore. They want to tune it out. It's as embarrassing as the elderly guy at the dinner table who just is telling the same story over and over again, and people just want to look away.
Yeah, there's people that have been around for 30 years, and there's other people with new ideas, and they just get shut out. So the headlines that we've seen this week, NBC, inside a Biden White House adrift. The Washington Post, White House scrambles on inflation after Biden complains to aides. CNN, beneath Biden's struggle to break through is a deeper dysfunction among White House aides. Really? And then I'm looking at a congresswoman who comes out and says on inflation, she has absolutely no faith. She's Stephanie Murphy of Florida. She says, this is not a time for political games. It's not the time for finding a boogeyman. They are struggling. This is not a time for somebody to point fingers. Biden is frustrated. It's not one thing, it's another. She went on to say the White House has failed to put forward anything that's intellectually honest when it comes to combating inflation. Now, I'm used to, I don't know, Ted Cruz saying that. I believe that. I'm listening to, you know, I listen to this, their economists spin things out. But when you have people on the left saying that, and Leon Panetta said something really interesting yesterday, Janet Yellen clearly was told, who knows that she believes it, that she was told to take the fall and admit that she was wrong about the inflation being transitory. She was told to come out and basically said this was my fault. But, you know, I'm looking at Leon Panetta yesterday, and he hopped on with Neil, former chief of staff for Bill Clinton, and, you know, former Secretary of Defense, former CIA director. And here's what he said that he should be doing. Cut 28.
Well, there's no question that the administration needs to develop a clear strategy as to how they're going to deal with the inflation threat. I think that it would be well for the president as well as, look, it was not just the Treasury Secretary. It was a whole group of economists. It was the White House. Right. It was others that came to the same conclusion that this would be transitory. So they all made a mistake. And I think the president probably would be helpful if he acknowledged that he made a mistake along with the Treasury Secretary and the other economists, but that he is now going to take steps to try to deal with it.
What does it say that Leon Panetta has to say that on Fox to try to get through to the White House?
Well, it says is that the White House is so tone deaf, so unwilling to listen to people, even established people like Leon Panetta, that they're basically having to take this argument to the public. And I think, well, you know, one of the things that you saw in the past, you know, under, you know, the Democrats would criticize decisions that were made under the Trump administration by saying people would go on TV to make the argument that they wanted the president to hear, and then he would take note of it and he would respond to it. I never thought that that was a bad thing. I thought it was actually a good way to get a lot of ideas out there. It turns out this time around, they've been trying to run the White House the old way of doing things, and it's a lot of people who really only care what's on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. They don't really care what is going on in terms of the conversations that are happening behind the scenes. And that, to me, is a sign that, you know, things are really starting to crack. They're looking at the same poll numbers that you and I are seeing for November and the wave that is really awaiting them that is going to sweep out of power an entire generation of Democratic leadership in the Congress, and I think is going to really upend the conversation in Washington. And they don't have an answer for it. They don't have an answer for why any of this has gone wrong, because the answer really is we got our economic policy wrong. We didn't listen to the critics who were proven right by everything that's happened since, and we've been tuning everybody out who we should have been listening to.
Ben Domenech, deep thinker from The Federalist, Fox News contributor. So they really took a step back, too, when they lost Jen Psaki. Whatever you want to think about it, she did a great job for the administration, because she had to do a lot of walking back and be able to respond on her feet. And I give her credit for putting Peter Ducey on the people to call on list every day. But this Corinne Jean-Pierre is absolutely awful. And I watched her as a commentator. She loved just teeing off on Trump. She was smooth, she was concise, and she was unsparingly brutal. Now, she's trying to be a diplomat, and she does not even know the issues. That's the problem, Ben. You might see you or I are bad at doing that job, but we didn't have to be drilled on the issues. We do this, and people might love this show and disagree with Ben and Brian, but we know what we're talking about. Well, this is our opinion about what's going on, all right? I'm fine with that. But this woman's got to read her own name to understand where to, and the location of the podium to understand where she's at. So now, not only is Peter asking the questions, but so is, and here's NBC's Kelly O'Donnell on when the president knew about the baby formula problem, which was apparent in December and was known to the manufacturers who called Walmart and Target in January. Cut 24.
On the issue of who briefed the president on baby formula, to say there is no specific person is not a satisfactory answer. When you have senior assistants to the president, there's a paper trail, I'm sure, about briefings to the president. There's a domestic policy council. There's a chief of staff.
I think what I'm trying to say, there are so many issues that come up that is presented to the president. As you know, you've covered many administrations, and there are just regular channels that happen that go to the president.
Like, we're also all reporting on the consumer side of it, of what you're doing, putting out and trying to get information. But we're also trying to understand the information flow in this White House, and it's important for us to get that answer, which is where we're going to keep asking it until we get that answer.
You have every right to keep asking. That's why I'm here. Look, there are regular channels. He is briefed by his senior White House staff, and that is just the process that we have. I'm not going to confirm who it was.
See, this isn't political points. This isn't about a policy or gun control. This is about how a kid is going to be getting formula which can't be made at home. He's acting like he's bragging about getting formula from Australia and France and Mexico. You want a pat on the back for that, Mr. President? Are you nuts?
It's incredible to me that in a moment like this, you would see this White House resorting to, well, you know, there's a lot on the president's plate. and the thing is, you know, it's like, okay, so you're the first president to have to deal with 100 things at once. You know, this is your job. This is the thing you've been running and trying to do for half of a century. And now that you've got it, it seems to be, you know, something that you're completely unprepared for and that your team is unprepared for. You know, they're putting their hopes in the idea of bringing Anita Dunn back she's already back, but in a bigger role after the election. And it's just like you have no answer for something as basic as you knew this in advance. You know, when was the president told? Why didn't something happen? And that's something that I think, you know, in this administration, it's so good that you made the point, Brian, that this is not about an ideological policy debate. This is about a very basic challenge that that the White House knew about well in advance, that it could have taken steps on in that moment. And look, the biggest driver of pricing and of the collapse of baby formula making into a handful of companies in America is the WIC program, the program that is run out of the federal government that pays for all of this formula that goes primarily to lower income, you know, women and their infants, et cetera. They're a major driver of, you know, the people who are allowed to participate in this and the regulations that go behind it. And they're a big part of the reason why we can't import the kind of formula that is widely available around the world to lots of other countries that don't have a problem with feeding their kids. And that's something that I think is, you know, a basic failure of our trade policy. You could have looked at that and said, you know, hey, you know, how do we get around this in the moment so that we don't have any starving babies and that people are able to get what they're trying to do instead of having, you know, mom and dad and grandparents trying to smuggle formula into the country past customs. I mean, that's just pathetic. It's sad. It's awful. And yet when we look around, we thought, or we were told, that Joe Biden was going to represent some kind of return to normalcy, a return to bipartisanship, a return, you know, tampering down on all of these, you know, culture war heated battles that we saw take place in the previous years. He's done the opposite, and he's been incompetent to boot in ways that I think everyone, you know, in their heart of hearts would acknowledge, even the Democrat water carriers in the media who, frankly, are getting embarrassed by him and are starting to get fed up with him. That's why you're seeing all of these reports come at once, 6 months out from an election. It's because they're trying to sort of, you know, lay the groundwork for for blaming him for the Democratic woes that are going to come in November, when it's a lot of it has to do with the extremist policies that they have pursued, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're so out of touch with America. They want to make this just about, oh, this is an incompetent White House, an incompetent Joe Biden, when in reality, it's that an incompetent Joe Biden went along with progressivism and ideology, and an ideology that is far out of step with the American people.
How about this? You name an FDA director for a year in the middle of a pandemic, and then when the FDA does do it, their nine-person committee that was handling this, the FDA doesn't feel compelled to report that we've destroyed this Abbott lab, maybe for a good reason, I assume, but that is going to affect 40% of the baby food market. This is January. So I would call the FDA director in, the acting director. Are you kidding me? You didn't tell me this? The Commerce Secretary, Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra, who's been an epic fail, who has no qualifications for the job. The Commerce Secretary, I would call them all in. Just go, I was not informed of this. This is an excusable act of execution. There's going to be a change here. You know, and that's what Trump used to
do. Yeah. Maybe this is what happens, Brian, when you put political hacks like Becerra into positions where you actually need some expertise in order to have, the charge of running the Department of Health and Human Services in a time of a pandemic and of challenges like this. And it's, unfortunately, this is the reality of the Biden administration. It's a bunch of political hacks who were not ready for prime time. They were the C and D teams of the Obama administration, and now they're in roles that they just are not prepared to fulfill.
Well, you always prepare for the segment and for the issues, Ben. They should put you into this administration. Do not be surprised if they heard this segment and will be calling you. Ben Domenech, you're the Federalist and Fox News. I implore you not to leave, but I'm sure the offers will come at the top of the hour.
Thank you, Brian.
No problem, Ben. Go get them. 1-866-408-7669. We're going to come back. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about what you heard last night. And what should happen when it comes to guns today, as well as everything else on the plate. It looks like there's a civil war within the White House, and we all lose. But let's talk about it.
Challenging conventional thought and wisdom. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-251-8381 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-251-8381. That's 800-251-8381. What do you have to lose? Call 800-251-8381. That's 800-251-8381.
He is the German Shepherd and hasn't had any kind of health problems at all. He has been on Dynavite since he's a puppy.
DINOVITE.com.
We tell anybody that has a dog, if there was something that you could do right from the beginning so that you don't have expensive veterinary bills, why would you not do it? Get the Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
You're getting Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
At Hannah's Organic Honey, business may be sweet, but they need an e-commerce queen bee to lead the hive.
Okay, these jars are going to Jakarta. Oh, wait a minute. Does that say Jackson?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by interviewing on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America is listening to Fox News.
Talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Male gametes. That's what makes me male.
No. Your sperm don't make you male.
Then what does?
It's a constellation.
In reality. In truth. Okay.
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No. You're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female, or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry?
Well,
does a chicken commit suicide? Let's frame it. Because you're talking, you're trying
to... A chicken has sex, like any biological organism.
A chicken has an assigned gender, but a chicken doesn't have a gender identity.
So we assign female to chickens when they lay eggs?
We assume they're female if they lay eggs.
So this is a documentary that was just put out. Who put this out? Matt Walsh just put this out, and it's What is a Woman? Because people are having this gender identity thing, and we're talking about it in schools, and now we're talking about it in life. There's some weird agenda out there to make transsexuality cool. And what is a woman? What is a man? We saw a Supreme Court justice not be able to answer that question. Should have been a disqualifying moment. But why? Because she knows all this thing is happening because it's going to be a court case that comes down the line shortly. But this goes out the absolute what a farce it is. Among these people who are just clueless, we've taken these fringe people and made them mainstream. And this administration fully supporting that. It's absolutely insane. So. This is just some of the craziness that's gone on. And if you look at Stacey Abrams, now people are starting to scrutinize her. They see that she's very good on her feet. They see how smart she is. They see that she got a lot of votes in Georgia, kind of a bit of a shock before the big shock we got in 2020. But people look at Stacey Abrams, and they look at the agenda that she has. She's all for the woke stuff. She's all for CRT. She's all for the pronoun stuff. And I think the people of Georgia, who we have two affiliates in Georgia, are listening right now. And just ask yourself, you might be saying, well, I'm in the middle and Brian Kemp kind of ticked me off about something. I'm not sure. But you got to ask yourself, do you want to be dealing with that in your kid's school? You have to send a message in the midterms that this crap has to stop. Even if you don't want it to stop, for your own political survival, it has to stop. But unfortunately, there are more and more left Democrats making their way through, breaking through.
First, we decide where we want to go.
Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.